much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
In one moment, we'll come face to face with the moment of truth.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
What was it we had for dinner tonight?
Well, we had a choice, steak or fish.
Yes, I remember I had lasagna.
Gigantic vagina. Biggest vagina known to man. Huge! It's gigantic. Gigantic. These big vagina ladies are getting away with murder. Something should be done. I don't know what can be done, but something should be done.
Giant female genitals. So that's nice for everybody.
Wow! Our 1,000th vagina joke. Gosh, where do I start? I guess I'd like to thank vaginas everywhere. They're creepy, and I don't know what they're for, but boy, are they funny!
And now...
I had no idea that things have gotten this bad this early.
Our feature presentation.
Ain't that always the truth? Welcome into an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, ladies and gentlemen. It is a Thursday, the 26th of January. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi there, Bean.
Hey, what are you hearing from people about your little wildlife thing on Saturday? People showing up?
People are emailing me for details, and some people, which is so nice, that can't make it are actually emailing me to ask where they can make donations. Isn't that cool?
Is that what they do? They raise money to rehabilitate sick animals? Is that what it is?
Well, they do that, and then a lot of these animals can't be released into the wild, so they keep them forever. So
wow.
They have a facility for them, and people can come and visit, and it's pretty amazing. I mean, there are other wildlife places that save animals, but they don't keep them. They have to either release them, or if they can't be released and they can't find a place for them, they might even have to put them down. So what the Wildlife Learning Center does is really unique.
They got any tapirs?
I don't think they do.
Now
they
do. Those are my favorite.
I know. They have a new prairie dog exhibit, which I'm very excited to see. But I'll ask about the tapir. We'll work on that.
Prairie dogs are so lucky that they were named prairie dogs because people always stick up for them every time there's a, you know, some sort of a program in Colorado where they go out and they kill them, you know, because they eat all the crops and everything. There's always outrage. There's always people protesting, you know, carrying signs. Don't kill prairie dogs. Because they have the name dog in their name, people assume that they're awesome. If they had named them prairie rats, which is really what they are, people would have no problem whatsoever with them decimating them.
That's true. Or gophers, which is what they're a lot like because they do all those holes, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. people be happy to kill a gopher or a mole. Call it a prairie dog. All of a sudden, you're out.
Because dogs are cute.
Which is just so weird. Real quick, what time and where?
It's going to be Saturday. The Wildlife Learning Center is in Sylmar from 2 to 5, and you can go to wildlifelearningcenter.com for all the details, and I'll be there. And also, I'm Tom Kenny of SpongeBob SquarePants. It'll be a lot of fun. And bring kids. They love this stuff.
And they love Tom Kenny, too.
Yes, absolutely.
So your chance to get with Lisa, as I like to promote it. That's how you get people out there. Is that if there was some sort of a raffle and somebody got with Lisa, I think it'd be a huge event.
I'm going to change my tweet to that.
Speaking of getting with, I love this story. I wish we had had this story a couple of weeks ago. Remember we did that topic about people who walked in on their parents having sex?
Oh, yeah. Well, that was creepy.
What caused that? How did we get started on that conversation? Do you remember what was the story?
Was it Parenthood?
It was Parenthood.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah,
okay.
One of the teenagers walked in on her his mom having sex with her boyfriend. Right.
Yes.
So we did that whole talk. We had people calling in, and there are people who are literally still scarred from mentally scarred from the image. Because let's be honest, parents aren't people, right? We all know that.
Yes.
And they're certainly not. They're not sexual beings.
God.
At all. They're parents. We don't even want to think that they might have had sex that one time that made it possible for us to be born, much less the fact that they might still be having sex.
We almost wish that we were adopted.
Absolutely, yes. That way somebody else could have had the sex, right? Well, this is an awesome story, and it just happened this week, and I'm sure you can guess what state it happened in if it's bizarre.
Washington or Florida?
Florida?
Exactly. A teenager called 911 this week and asked police to place her in a Christian children's center because she heard her mother having sex one night.
What? What
night? She calls the cops at 4 a.m. They show up and go, "What's going on here?" The girl says, "I need to get out of here. I need to go to a local shelter because I heard my mother having sex and I feel disrespected by it." Her mom is 35 years old and had her boyfriend over for the night. No mention in the police report of what the family situation is or, you know, where the dad is or anything. But apparently the mom is, you know, either divorced or single and now has a boyfriend. Mom explained to the police that she had invited her boyfriend over and sometime during the visit, her daughter had heard them having sex and became very upset. The woman added that their bedrooms are next to each other and she did not intend to wake the daughter up. And the girl felt disrespected. How could Mom, how can you do that to me?
Well, maybe it's a new boyfriend, and I don't know. I could see where that'd be awful creepy.
It would suck. But I mean, even if you're 15, do you think, hey, I'm going to involve the authorities? You call the police?
Not in a million years would that cross my mind. I'd run away from home.
Yeah, you might leave the house, yeah. Exactly, or put the pillow over your ears, or la 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 la, just anything. Turn the radio up, TV, something. But call the police. I just love that. So she said not only is she outraged and feels disrespected because of her mom, and that's why she called the police. Remember, she said she wanted to go to a Christian shelter.
Yes.
And maybe that's what it is. Maybe it didn't even occur to me till right now. Maybe she's super religious and she has a real fundamental problem with her mom having sex out of wedlock.
Sure.
I bet that's what's going on here.
She found God.
That's why she feels disrespected because, hey, how can you do that in my house? You know how I feel about this,
right.
Even though she's the daughter. Anyway, so the police and I don't know how the police have the patience that they have to treat every situation so well most of the time, but they got her in contact with a representative to the children's shelter at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow!
And she said, "Well, I was going to go, but now it's so late. I got to get up and get ready for school anyway. So I'm not going to go to the shelter. I'm just going to go to school instead."
So, they probably explained to her what that shelter's really like. I don't know what she was thinking it was. It can't be fun. It can't be better than your home.
Yeah, probably not. But I just thought that was such a hilarious reaction to mom having sex. But now that I read it out loud, I bet you that's what it was. I bet it's because mom's not married.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she specifically said she wanted to go to a Christian shelter, because she wouldn't have to worry about nonsense like that breaking out.
Oh, my God. It's terrible.
It ain't natural. Exactly. All right. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Let's get this show on the road.
Let's do that. We have J.B. Smoove on the program today.
He's the best.
Of course, from Curb Your Enthusiasm, I understand about one of every four or five words that come out of his mouth, but the ones I get are funny.
Yep.
He also has a Comedy Central show, I believe, called The Ruckus. Very, very funny comedian. We got him on the program today. Speaking of sex, we are going to be looking for you and taking your calls today as we explore deeper the mysterious revelation from Tim Gunn from Project Runway, who announced on his program yesterday that he has been celibate for 29 years.
One, that's shocking. And two, why do you think he announced it?
I don't know.
Do you
that
think
does seem like the type of thing that would overshadow whatever public image you've built up over the years that you've been a successful designer, teacher, television personality. It seems like now that's all people are going to think or talk about when they see Tim Gunn.
Yeah, I know. That's very odd. Maybe he's putting the word out because he's actually looking for someone to
maybe
help
so,
him.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure Tim Gunn doesn't have any problem. I mean, people love this dude.
And he's really handsome and
articulate, funny, rich. Yeah. He needs to make it work, though, I'll tell you that. So we're going to be looking for people who are afraid of sex. UFC on Fox 2 is happening this weekend. Yesterday we had Rashad Evans on the program. Today we'll go a little bit deeper into the bill and talk to Chael Sonnen and Michael Bisping. I think it's hilarious that they have these guys who are going to be pounding each other's brains out in a couple of days, and they've got them doing a promo radio tour together. Like, wouldn't you think that the last person they'd want to be talking to is the guy they're going to be fighting? I mean, if nothing else, and maybe we'll ask him about this, if nothing else, you know, you kind of want the guy you're going to be fighting to be afraid of you. Have a little, you know, have a little mystery before you step into the ring.
Yeah, absolutely.
Instead of yucking it up with us. So Thursday means Dr. Drew on the program today. We also have one of the most amazing, successful television producers working today. He does a million shows. His name is Tom Beers. We first fell in love with him and started talking to him about 1,000 Ways to Die, but he's also the producer of Storage Wars and so many other shows. He's got a new show called Bering Sea Gold, which is exactly like The Deadliest Catch. They're up in Alaska. They're taking their boats out, except instead of trying to bring fish back, they're trying to bring gold back. And it was so eye-opening for me in the 21st century to think that there are still people out there panning for gold for a living. That's what they do for a job.
Yeah. This looks super dangerous, too.
It is super dangerous, and it is a bizarre way to make a living. But I'm very excited that we have Tom coming up in studio. Plus, we got a brand new internet roundup for you today. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. What is that little instrument they're playing there, Ralph? Is that like a glockenspiel or something that we keep hearing on that song?
It's the Sportsenphone.
Excuse me, the what?
Sportsenphone. It's a German percussion instrument. The Sportsenphone.
Gautier featuring Kimbra, somebody that I used to know, is what that is.
Why are we playing new Sting music? That's what I want to know. Why are you playing?
It is kind of stingy, isn't it?
Sting and Kate Bush and their new duet. Why are they on our station?
It is a little bit. It's a very popular song with the kids.
Oh, I see.
Very popular. All right, 5:52 here on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph joins us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Now we know. Now we know what Demi Moore's evil drug of choice is. Why she has to go to rehab. Why she went to the hospital.
What?
Laughing gas.
What?
Yay! Unnamed sources tell TMZ that Demi Moore was in her home doing whippets the night the paramedics showed up.
Are whippets good?
Whippets real good. Whippets, for those of you who aren't familiar, and who isn't really, we've all done whippets in our time. They're compressed little canisters of nitrous oxide, laughing gas. You can also do it out of a whipped cream can. At least you used to be able to. I don't know if they still use nitrous to power your whipped creams. But she went semi-conscious, they say. Excuse me.
That seems like I think Kevin infected everybody. Yes. Isn't that an awfully low-rent drug for a multimillionaire to be indulging
in? Well, only in the sense that it's usually what junior high schoolers do behind the gym class when they're trying to get a quick high, cheap death.
Right, because they got nothing. They got no money. They got no other drugs to choose from. But right. Demi Moore could do a lot better.
Yeah, it is. It's most embarrassing celebrity drug story I've ever heard.
You have to go to rehab for whippets?
There's a 49-year-old woman was doing whippets in her house. I guess you have to do rehab for whatever ails you, Lisa. Hmm. And they say she collapsed after having a seizure.
Oh, wow.
So the whippets gave her a seizure. And she is also being treated for anorexia in combination with substance abuse.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear. What's the sensation you get from doing whippets? Does it make you feel high, lightheaded?
Lightheaded, especially. Goofy? Very, yeah. All those inhalants, you know, your poppers, your whippets.
Pain fumes.
What they do basically is you take a bunch of a gas into your body and it basically chokes off the oxygen to your brain.
Sounds great.
And that oxygen deprivation gives you a sense of euphoria and lightheadedness that lasts only moments.
Yeah.
That's the problem with whippets. You got to keep sucking. You got to keep sucking those whippets in order to keep that high going.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what she did. So that's the story with Demi Moore. Demi Lovato, by the way, is catching some fallout from this story because people are confusing her with Demi Moore, especially because she told her Twitter followers that she was taking a break from Twitter. And that led to speculation. Everyone started saying, oh, well, it's because I heard about her. She's got that substance abuse problem. She's going to be in rehab. She's going to be treated for substance abuse issues. But truth is, wrong Demi. All treatment rumors are utterly false, her rep says. So.
Funny.
All is well. Sad news. Scottish actor Nicole Williamson is dead. One of my favorites. He worked for a long, long time, 60s and 70s, 80s. He played Merlin, if you ever saw the movie Excalibur, about King Arthur and the Arthurian legend. He was great in that film. Also played Little John, Sean Connery's Robin Hood, in the movie Robin and Marian, about an aging Robin Hood. Brilliant actor, died at 73. And sad news.
Did he know James Ferrantino?
I don't know if he knew James or not. Joan Rivers had another round of plastic surgery.
For what? What's left?
I don't know. Apparently there's a new reality show called Joan and Melissa. Joan Knows Best. Anyone?
No.
Nothing? I've heard of it, yes.
Joan said, my body's a temple and my temple needs redecorating. The temple needs condemning. So she underwent the knife again and you should see the photos of her without makeup, by the way.
It must be
horrifying.
Yeah, she was eating on the show without the makeup. And she's 78. No one knows how many surgeries this is for her, but she was getting a little tightened up. I'm torn now because Joan this past week went public with her complete hatred and disdain for Chelsea Handler. And I always hated Joan Rivers.
Really?
But is the enemy of my enemy my friend?
Yes, that's In this case, you guys have to team up, yeah.
Called Chelsea a drunken whore who wasn't an unfunny drunken whore.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
It's so funny when people get old and they just say whatever they want. She's the best.
She doesn't seem to mind too much speaking her mind. That's true. I don't know if you've seen the new photos of Miley Cyrus, but she's just stupid.
She's a delight. Come on.
She's a stupid, stupid girl. She was at her birthday party for her boyfriend Liam Hemsworth. And they have photos of her eating the cake last weekend. But here's the thing. The cake is shaped like a massive black penis.
Was she not using a knife and fork?
She was not using a knife and fork, yeah. Lisa. She was also eating it from the wrong end, in my personal opinion. You can see the photos online if you type in Miley Cyrus cake. And it's not good. It's unattractive. And it begs the question, why is her boyfriend getting a giant penis cake on his
birthday? That was a bizarre choice. I mean... And how many times does Miley Cyrus have to be embarrassed by a photo coming out from something that she assumes is a private event?
Yeah.
It happens over and over and over again.
Yeah, she's an idiot.
Unless she's just, hey, this will be controversial if I can be seen with this or seen saying this or seen doing this, and it's all a plan.
And poor Armie Hammer, social network star, also star of Hoover. He was in that movie, the Edgar Hoover movie, J. Edgar. Coming back from Mexico, crossing the border, into the U.S. and Texas, when the dog started to smell something in his car, and they found 0.02 ounces of marijuana, along with 3 medicinal marijuana cookies and 1 brownie. Sounds like he's ready to distribute.
Sure does. 0.02 ounces, man. Think how far that'll go. Ounce.
Jeez.
Can take care of a lot of customers with that kind of stash.
Yeah, Army spent the better part of the day, behind bars before shelling out $1,000 for bail. The El Paso, Texas district attorney has now declined to prosecute Armie since a felony requires more than 4 ounces of weed, so I guess he's going to get off with just a slap on the wrist. But this is the same checkpoint, by the way, where they busted Willie Nelson and Snoop.
What's going on there?
So don't go there, by the way. Don't go through there, people.
Come through San Diego.
That's right.
Way better.
Key Street. I guess that's a big source of income for them there at El Paso.
Must be.
You ever been to El Paso?
Yes.
I have.
It's quite a town.
Yep.
Across the border there to Juarez, the little border town on the other side. Good times. Today's celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Eddie Van Halen. Tattoo, tattoo. 57 years old.
Is that song growing on you yet, Rob?
I love the tattoo. I loved it the minute I heard it.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Yes. Ellen DeGeneres, comedian, is 54 years old today. Actor Paul Johansson from One Tree Hill is 48. And actress Sarah Rue. She was less than perfect. And more than a size 10. But now she's not. She lost a lot of weight.
Yep.
And can't get a job.
Yep.
She's 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Every week this month, every week this year, we've been sending you off to some exotic location to see one of our favorite bands. And this time, destination number 4 of the K-Rock World Tour 2012 is the band Incubus. In Sydney.
Australia!
Yes, yes, thank you, Oprah. Apparently, Lisa, it's a 10-day vacation where you get to see Incubus, you get to go to the Australian Open of Surfing.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable, yeah. Dream trip of a lifetime. All week long here on K-Rock, we've got chances for you to win, including coming up later on today, you'll get a chance to win a surfboard and be on the standby boarding list. Grand prize drawing is coming up next week. All right, comedian J.B. Smoove later this hour, plus an unbelievable story of an adoption gone wrong we'll tell you about in a minute. But first, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air at 323-520-AFRO. This is our voicemail that we have set up 24 hours a day. You call us whenever you think of something, and sometimes you get a thought in your head that's so troubling to you or so pressing or so important or so urgent, you can't wait until we come back on the air the next day. So you have to call and leave a message on the voicemail. Like this guy, for instance. See, now that can't wait.
Of course not.
Gotta get that out immediately. We were talking to a comedian, Jay Moore, yesterday, who's on stage at the Bray Improv this weekend. He does the best Tracy Morgan impression I've ever heard. You close your eyes, you don't know whether it's really Jay Moore's or is it Tracy Morgan. At least that's what I thought until I heard this listener call in.
What's up, Creative Coalition? This is Tracy Morgan, baby. I'm going to get your elbows pregnant. My My penis is the Matrix, and if you don't mind, I'd like to lose consciousness now.
Okay.
This is not
maybe
bad.
Maybe not the best impression, but nice effort. Lately, a lot of the calls coming in the Afro line have a theme, which is let's put Beer Mug out of his misery because, frankly, Beer Mug is killing us. And that's exactly what's on this guy's mind.
I've been listening to you guys' podcast for a while now, and I hate Beer Mug. He's so freaking stupid.
Hearing a lot of that these days. Here's another one, Beer Mug, just for you. This is a reaction to the story you were telling about being T-boned in that intersection the other day and getting into a car accident.
Wow, Beer Mug, it's pretty crazy that you got into a car accident on a rainy day. But what's even crazier is that you were hit by T-bone. I mean, that's what you said, isn't it? You were just driving along and then, boom, T-bone. I mean, did you get out of the car? Did you get an autograph? Did you maybe tell him that he was outrageous? Or, you know, some other dumb thing like that?
Beer Mug, it was raining when you got into your accident, right?
That is true.
And were you abiding by the Kevin Bean rule, which is when it rains, you drive as fast as possible so that you're on the streets less time?
No, I was driving like a grandma.
See, there's your problem. No, this listener will show you why you're wrong for not listening to us.
Kevin, you are absolutely right, man. I'm driving 119 miles per hour in the pouring rain, flying down the 405 freeway. The wind is whipping by. The clouds are up. This weather is terrible. But I know that by staying on the road for this short amount of time,
I like that he provides his own sound effects, too. Oftentimes on the Afro line, people will call with descriptions about their penis. I don't know if they're trying to get us hot or what, but this is fairly elaborate.
I just painted my ding-dong to look like a piece of garlic bread and set it on my couch. Mm. Now I just need to wait. Hey, Lisa.
Thank you.
We know about Lisa and garlic bread. In fact, I think your new boyfriend called back.
Oh, and Lisa, sorry it wasn't a crumb this time. I wanted to give you the whole loaf. Heyo,
indeed. Nice effort. Well, here's a very sad little cat who's calling us on the Kevin and Bean Afro line. We were doing the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices the other day, and I guess Kittler was removed from the wheel. We're never going to call Kittler, which is the cat that had Hitler's mustache, which I thought was going to be an awesome conversation, but apparently it's not in rotation anymore, and Kittler called us very upset.
Kevin and Bean, this is Kittler. Why have you forsaken me? My place on the wheel will be secured.
Oh, poor Kittler. You don't want to make Kittler mad.
No, you don't.
Kittler can do bad things. Early in the week, I guess, we talked to Eli Manning from New York Giants, or last week, I guess, before the game that put him into the Super Bowl. And Eli was very sick, had some sort of food poisoning or something like that. And it was a fairly graphic call. Eli bending over maybe the toilet while he was talking to us. And that did not set well with this listener.
I don't consider myself a person of weak constitution. Like, I can watch pretty much anything and be okay, but one thing I can't handle is the sound of somebody vomiting. I bought a delicious breakfast burrito and I was about to eat it, and then Ralph comes in and starts puking on the radio. God damn it! I can't eat this now. I hate all of you.
First of all, not Ralph. That was New York Giants quarterback Eli Manning. But second of all, yeah, vomiting is one of those sounds like yawning that seems to be contagious for some reason. You hear somebody else doing it, and you start to feel that scratchiness in your throat, too.
I don't know. That one was just so... I mean, he was really puking. I have another friend who said, I turned the radio off. I couldn't take it. It was just so awful.
It was fairly graphic. Yeah, it was. Beer Mug, it's not all hate for you. There's some people out there maybe who are not fans of The Bean.
Oh.
Oh, gorgeous dumbass. Oh, gorgeous dumbass. Bean
ain't
the world's largest
donut. Oh, that's song for you,
Bean. And we've been playing it for years on and off here on the Kevin Bean Show, but our listeners are still fascinated with the Chacarone song.
Still funny.
Hey, Beer Mug, do you have my Footloose tape available? So that's something you can dig up because you hate when tape from the old days never dies. You know, you do something once on the radio and you think, well, that sucked, but at least it's over with now. At least it's part of history now and it'll never be repeated. And then it comes back to haunt you for the rest of your life. And here's the listener calling to request that.
Hey, I don't have anything funny or clever to say. I just want to hear Bean's Footloose from like 1981.
Yes.
Can you guys play that? life.
How dare you?
Yes.
How dare you? Yeah. 95. BGC. I still love that song. From Niecy. Almost sprained myself right down there in the ankle every time I hear it. You might say it almost made my foot loose.
See, because that song was in the movie from the soundtrack.
Yeah, you might say that if you're an idiot.
Thank God there was no file to put things in back then. Thank God back then you just said it and it was stupid and then you moved on to the next day.
But that apparently is not how it works here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You can also be part of the Afro Line. Call anytime, 24-7. The number is 323-520-AFRO. We'll be right back here on the Kevin and Bean. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Funny man J.B. Smoove coming up on the program today. We'll talk to a couple of the UFC on Fox fighters next hour as well. And Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us later on today. Hey, we'll have to ask Dr. Drew about the Whippets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, please. I'm very
curious.
Would
there be more? Yeah. Apparently, you can go to one of two ways. You can go the what Ralph was talking about with the whipped cream, where you know squeeze that and get the juice out of that. Or mm-hmm. There's another way to do it with the laughing gas too. Apparently, two different kinds of whippets. So we'll have to find out what's popular, what's cheap, and what I can get today because it sounds great.
Okay.
Here's a story that has caused international problems between Russia and the United States. You know, I'm all for adoption. I'm a huge fan of adoption of kids. And there are, you know, just so many kids around the world that are looking for homes. And it seems like, at least in America, so many parents who are looking for kids.
Yes.
So it seems like a win-win. Parents are happy. Kids are happy. Everybody loves it. Russia apparently is one of the countries that we adopt a lot of babies from. Over 60,000 kids have been adopted from Russia in the past few years. Over 1,600 just last year alone. But Russia is threatening to put a stop to all adoptions to the United States from Russia because of this one international incident, a woman from Nashville, Tennessee. She's an American woman who adopted a kid back in September, a 7-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So she's had him September, October, November, December. Now it's January. This month, she decided it wasn't working out. So she put a note on his jacket, took him to the airport, put him on a plane, one-way ticket to Moscow, sent him back.
No.
And
that's unbelievable. You know how, I mean, the stuff you have to go through to adopt a child,
yes,
it's out of country is,
yes,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and she had been, you know, she had to do all of that. She had to do all that paperwork and pay all that money and fly over there,
yeah,
and go through all the interviews and all of that stuff. But she decided that the kid had psychological problems. She is claiming that they were being kept from her by the people that, you know, the company that she went through for the adoption. And that the kid was just too much trouble, too much work, wasn't what she signed up for, sent the kid back one way. Now, so far, no criminal charges, but she is being sued, apparently, for child support from the adoption agency. So it is going to court. So it's a very sticky situation that I said, like I said, has international implications if it ends up stopping adoptions from the whole country of Russia to the United States. Well, we wanted to find out more about the story. We asked producer Dave if he could line somebody up, and sure enough, he actually got us someone. In fact, the 7-year-old boy at the center of the controversy, Boris Szczesinski, joins us right now on the Kevin Amin Show. Hi, Boris. How are you?
Who is supposed to be calling me?
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, K-Rock, Los Angeles, in America.
I never heard of such show, but I know I don't like it.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. We just wanted to talk to you for a couple of minutes. Look, we're on your side. We feel terrible,
yeah,
about what happened to you, little man.
Are you getting shot at?
What's
I'm
happening?
Are you?
Are you safe, Boris?
Yes, I'm very safe. You know why? Because no one messes with Boris.
What was going on with the guns I just heard?
Psychological problems. What does she know from psychological problems? Now Boris is head of all Russian mafia.
Wow. Well, this does sound like a handful.
Hey, talk to my little Frenchie.
Well, Boris, is it true, or was she just not ready to be a parent, and that's why she gave you up? I mean, did she have a legitimate gripe that you were too much of a handful for her to take care of?
She was not knowing what she's talking about.
Oh.
Boris is perfect little boy. Hold on a second.
Oh, okay.
Yay. What?
Why are you doing, is that drugs I'm hearing, Boris?
Maybe.
Well, that's not appropriate.
You have a problem with that?
Yes, you're 7 years old. You shouldn't be doing things like that. You shouldn't be shooting guns, running the mafia, and doing drugs.
Actually, it's just Lucky Charms I chopped up into powder and snorted. I haven't moved on to drugs yet, but I will get there.
Wow. You do sound like you would have been a handful for Mom back in Nashville. Did you not like Nashville, Tennessee? Was that not a good fit for you coming from Moscow?
I left poorest neighborhood in all of Moscow.
Well, then that seems like a step up.
I thought so, till I got to Tennessee.
Oh.
What is with those people, Tennessee? Worse teeth than Muscovites.
Oh, God, yeah.
And what is with country music? It's like child endangerment every time you turn on radio there.
Yeah, we can't really defend that.
Oh, sweet Lord, with the red solo cup.
That was the deal breaker for you. You were probably happy to get back on that plane after a little bit.
I have psychological problems. I come from place to go to Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah.
Tennessee is an awful place to be.
It might have been a tough adjustment for you, I guess, yeah.
But not having the love of a mother who sends me back on plane with not pinned to me.
Yeah,
that is actually, that is kind of sad. A one-way ticket to Moscow for a seven-year-old, that's kind of rough, right?
That changes everything in a young man's life.
Sure. I understand. Okay, again, it sounds like you need to step away from the pipe, Boris.
That's just a bubble pipe. I'm just blowing bubbles. But still, one day I will be doing drugs, running all of Russian mafia.
I don't know.
I made the right decision. Yeah.
I'm torn now that I've heard this.
Don't worry, it's just cap gun.
Okay. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ. Keep listening for a chance to see Incubus in Australia. We'll get you qualified coming up later on today. Dr. Drew on the program today. In just a few minutes, we'll talk about Tim Gunn from Project Runway, who said on his TV show yesterday he has not had sex in 29 years. That's a dry spell, Lisa.
That's commitment.
29 years.
You really got to dry.
J.B. Smoove is on the phone, of course. If he had called last week instead of this week, maybe I would have known he had a new Comedy Central stand-up special. Good promotion there, J.B. Nice job.
I'm doing my thing, baby.
Looks like
thing.
I missed it.
I'm doing my damn thing.
What about...
I'm not as dry as Tim Gunn either. I'll tell you that. I'm just pointing that out there.
What about that?
I do
care about that. What about 29 years of not having sex? That's what do you make of that, JB?
That's something else right there, man. That's something else. You know, that's something else right there. Wow. I mean, that's something to admit, and that's something to, you know, put out there to the world. I don't know why we would put that out there, but, you know, that puts them in a certain category. You know what I mean? It locks them down. You know, it makes them very eligible, but it also makes them very... you know, very dry. You know what I mean?
Man can't
go around that damn dry for that damn long.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying.
Yes. We talked about this yesterday, and Ralph, one of the guys at our show, said he must have muscles on that right arm and on that right hand that would just rival anyone on earth at this point.
He has to. And I'm going to tell you one thing. He's around a lot of models and beautiful women all the time. You know, how do you even hold that in? You know what I mean?
Yeah, because
how do you even hold those urges in? You
know? Right, because he would want those beautiful women to introduce him to their brothers and boyfriends because he's very gay.
Right.
But it seems like
is he trying to break some record or something? You know, did he call Guinness? That's all I'm trying to say.
Did he call Guinness?
Are they following him around to make sure he's not breaking?
Exactly. JB is on the phone because, he had a comedy special this past weekend on Comedy Central, which I got great reviews. Unfortunately, I missed it, but it is coming out on DVD in April. But he also has another new show on tonight called The Ruckus, and this looks like it might be pretty cool. This is you and your funny friends. Tell us about it. 10 o'clock tonight on Comedy Central.
That's right. It's me hosting my comedy. My comedy is going to be presenting other comedy. You know what I mean? So I'm bringing the ruckus. It's kind of like visiting someone's house, right? You go to someone's house, you always want to bring something, right? If I invite you guys to my house, you better bring something, right? You better bring a casserole. You better bring something to eat. You better bring a bottle of wine. You better bring something. So I'm bringing the ruckus on stage, and I got three friends with me, and they're going to bring something. They're going to bring their style. They're going to bring their humor. They're going to bring their time, and they're going to bring all these great things to my party, and it's going to be a party that the people in the audience are going to freaking love. They ripped the place apart. They tore the place apart. After every show, we got to pay to fix stuff for the next taping. You know what I mean? That's how crazy it was. You people are going to get a chance to watch this, and you're going to be sitting at home like, damn, I wish I was there. You know what I mean? That's all you're going to keep saying was, damn, I wish I was there. Matter of fact, the show should have been called, damn, I wish I was there. You know what I mean? I wish I was there. You know what I mean?
I like it. I like it.
It's amazing, man. It's really a fun show. Russell Simmons sits in the front row every episode. Why? I have no idea why he's sitting there, but he's sitting there the whole show. It's like your boss is sitting there watching you the whole time. You know what I mean? He's sitting right to my right the whole every show. He's sitting there. You know what I mean? I'm trying to host, I'm doing my job, and he's sitting there, and my boss is sitting there. sitting there watching the whole show. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's awkward. That's awkward. Yeah. And you also have some...
A little bit.
Sure, of course. You also have some filmed sketches. It's not just all stand-up. Don't you also do some of that patented film? In other words, kind of like a, is it kind of like a Louis C.K. where we kind of follow you around also, and then we kind of see you and your guys on stage?
That's right. I do. We shot a sketch for every episode, which kind of makes it fun because you get a chance to which is something that I love to do, and I love to shoot these funny videos, and we shot some really funny ones, man, leading up to the show. When the show first comes on, we show a funny video, we go right into the show, and it's hype all the way through, man. So it kind of gives you a little a slice into the world of how we're presenting this show. You know, it's a little background on the Ruckus, a little background on Russell, a little background on stuff that we do. And what the show's going to be about, and we go to a really funny bit, and then we go right into the show. And it's amazing, man. It's really amazing. I think you're going to love it tonight, you know. And I'm like Mr. Comedy Central this month, you know. I had my comedy playlist on earlier this month, and then I had the special on last week, and now I got the Ruckus on to the end of this month. So it's a lot of fun, man. It's like Comedy Central takeover for me right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's too goddamn much, J.B. Smoove, if you want my opinion.
It's got to be. You know, that's how you got to do things. You got to make it. You got to overdo things. You know what I mean? I'm taking it.
You know? All right, before you go, J.B. Smoove, by the way, here on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about The Ruckus. It airs tonight at 10 on Comedy Central. Before you go, you're doing so well with the acting now. Obviously, all these seasons of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I know that's going to come back. You were just in that How I Bought a Zoo movie, the great Cameron Crowe directed that. You're also in this Sacha Baron Cohen movie, The Dictator, that is one of the most anticipated movies of 2012. Are you going to get to a point where you are too big? Are you going to be like Eddie Murphy, where you're a big movie star, you're going to be too big for stand-up, you're going to leave it behind? What do you think, JB?
I don't think so, man. I think that immediate response from an audience is always amazing. You know, it's always amazing to hear you say something for the first time and people just crack up laughing and you in the moment and they're enjoying you. People got to get, you know, it takes a lot to get people out the house. They got to get their ass up, find a babysitter or get off work or whatever you got to do. They got to get dressed. They got to get in their damn car. They got to drive to the show. There's a lot of stuff that people got to do to come and see you perform. And when they come and see you perform, they want to feel like, wow, this is great. Not only great, they're going to feel like, wow, this guy really appreciates us coming out. And that's why I want people to know that I really appreciate them coming out. And the stand-up is something I love because it's that immediate response. Movies take months, sometimes years, a year to come out. You know what I mean? You got to wait. And everyone's asking about the damn movie, when it's coming out. You got to keep giving them dates. It's coming out next June. You know what I mean? With stand-up, it's immediate.
It's immediate.
You
want to
see
me?
You come tonight and check me out. You know what I mean?
Hey. I understand. I get that magic, man. That's cool. I'd be interested. I mean, like I said, you're blowing up so big. It's always exciting to see all the new stuff. Russell Simmons presents The Ruckus with our friend J.B. Smoove tonight at 10 on Comedy Central. You can follow J.B. on the Twitter at OSnapJBSmoove and the website stillsmoove.com. Talk to you again soon, my friend. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you, brother.
That band is called M83. On the way, The Offspring, also Bush.
You guys.
And the Dirty Heads. It never gets old, Lisa.
I know.
And never will. 6:57 Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Demi Moore. Now we know what she was doing there in her house when the paramedics had to show up and take her to the hospital.
Not eating?
Drugs, man. She was doing drugs.
Oh.
She was doing whippets. Yeah. Oh. Whippets.
That's the worst, right? One hit and you're hooked for life.
No. One hit and then you immediately need another hit because it wears off in about 30 seconds.
Oh.
I don't understand what happened. I don't get it. Maybe we can talk to a doctor today. We don't have any doctors we can talk to today?
We don't. We don't have any doctors that we talk to every Thursday. Oh, wait a minute. Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us in an hour. We can ask him about it.
No, I mean real doctors.
Oh, yeah. I can't help you there.
Yeah. They say it was nitrous oxide that she was doing, and that's why the paramedics were called. She, according to different sources, piecing together all the different stories, doing nitrous, had some sort of seizure, then became semi-conscious.
Oh, my gosh.
Paramedics were called to her house. She was rushed to the hospital. So rehab, not just for the substance abuse, apparently, but also, according again to various sources, she needs help with an eating disorder as well.
Because she's not eating.
That could be the problem, yes.
She's a mess.
That's why people get her mixed up with Demi Lovato.
That's right. They have so much in common. Same name, same issues. This ticks me off. There's this movie coming out, brought to you by Aardman Studios, the people who did the Wallace and Gromit movies. They do that claymation, you know. They do the commercials for that travel business. I forget what it is, but where they're like they're parachuting and the birds go by and they order their hotel room and everything. It's a very funny British company. They've got a new movie coming out called The Pirates. And I actually saw a little of this at Comic-Con because I was hosting the panel for this company and the release of the film. And I've seen a bunch of footage from it. It's a very, very funny film. And it's about old-timey pirates and this particular band of misfit pirates, as you can imagine by the name, the Pirates, Band of Misfits. Hugh Grant stars as the captain. And one of the running jokes of the film is that he keeps looking for this ship that's carrying all this gold. And he keeps swinging on his rope from his ship onto the ship, and he lands. And he goes, like, oh, no, no, we're a ghost ship. And there's a bunch of ghosts standing there. And he keeps going from ship to ship, can't find the ship. So one ship he lands on, and you can see it in the trailer, is a leper boat. A boat of lepers going up to a leper colony. And so he shows up and he says, I want all your gold. And he says, sorry, we don't have any gold. We're a leper boat. And while the guy's talking to him, his arm falls off.
Sure. Like they do.
Like they do, because that's the old cliche about the lepers in the old-timey pirate movies.
Right.
Uh-oh. You would think that would be funny, right?
Don't tell me the lepers are protesting.
The Lepra Health in Action organization is furious about this scene in the movie. Leprosy is not an easy disease to catch. It is curable. Those affected should live within mainstream society. And no, limbs don't just fall off, not even for comic effect, they wrote. So they're protesting the movie, and this is the part that makes me angry. Aardman Studios has decided to take that scene out of the film.
Oh, no. Come on. You can't make fun of lepers now. We're at that point.
After reviewing the matter, we decided to change the scene out of respect and sensitivity for those who suffer from leprosy. The last thing anyone intended was to offend anyone. So we don't get to see the funny bit where the guy's arm falls off.
But it's curable, they
right.
say.
Right. But it wasn't then. That's why they had to send him to colonies.
Right.
But now it's curable. It's all good. Everybody loves leprosy. We love you. We want to kiss your lips as they fall off your face, you lepers. So where's the harm?
Oh,
well, the Leper Society said no.
There's a Leper Society.
The Lepra Health in Action is the name of their organization.
And I want to get leprosy.
We want you too.
It sounds awesome.
It's hard to get, I hear.
Yeah.
Really, if anyone could lose their body parts and not miss them, it would be Bean. As long as the head was still connected to the internet in some way, he would not miss if his arm went.
Haven't you long been predicting, Ralph, that I am this close to just being a brain in a jar?
Absolutely. I can just see you in some 1950s mad laboratory with bubbles coming up out of this oxygen-rich fluid that they keep your brain in, and we just plug you right into the internet.
I'd be fine with that. I get as much exercise as I do now.
It's just a big Ethernet cable running from your cerebellum into some master
That's all
computer.
I need.
That's all you need. Today's celebrity birthday is actress Sarah Rue. She was on a TV program called Less Than Perfect. She's 34 years old.
Now, is she bell-worthy now?
She's hot now, yeah.
She always had a very pretty face, I know
And she
that.
Lost a ton of weight. She looks great.
Yeah.
Can't work anymore. She's not a pudgy comic actress anymore. Now she's another one of those just hot chicks in Hollywood.
There's a million.
Swing a dead cat. Paul Johansson from One Tree Hill's 48. Comedian Ellen DeGeneres turns 54 years old today. And legendary rock guitarist Eddie Van Halen.
Swap meet salad. Trim stamp cat. Mouse wife to mom shell in the time it took to get that new tattoo. Tattoo, tattoo.
How can you not love that song, Bean?
Because it's a terrible song.
It's an awesome song.
It's a terrible song, and David Lee Roth sounds like crap on it,
too. He sounds great on it, and it makes me rock the F out.
Is the deal with Van Halen that whoever Eddie Van Halen is getting along with this year gets to be the lead singer? He pretty much decides whether it's Hagar or Roth, right?
Well, the band is called Van Halen.
Right.
So I guess he gets to choose who sings lead for them.
I guess so.
Eddie is 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Chael Sonnen and Michael Bisping are fighting each other in the octagon on Fox at UFC on Fox number 2 this Saturday night. They're going to be joining us in about a half an hour. Is that weird, Ralph, that they're doing interviews together?
I think it shows the lay person
how much this is a job to these guys. So many fighters that I've talked to, and I work out of this boxing gym, so I run into the professional fighters and stuff occasionally, and I have a conversation. And they say, look, it's nothing personal. I don't care who I get in the ring with. I don't hate the guy. Right. I really have no feelings for him. My job is to knock him out, knock him down, whatever you know, whatever sport you're talking about. And a lot of the guys have no animosity towards each other. Now, some guys really hate each other, but it's usually not the case.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be coming up. Also, we'll talk to Dr. Drew here in a little while, too. And next hour, we're going to talk about painting for gold in Alaska.
Yeah.
You never thought you'd hear those words on the Kevin Beach Show.
I'm going. That's where I'm headed. I'm cashing out.
Looks like a pretty cool job.
Yeah, it does.
Right now, though, I am a huge fan of Tim Gunn. And I sense from the fact that his name came up yesterday that not everybody here on the show is a fan of Mr. Gunn.
Make
of course,
it work.
Famous
Come on,
as the,
ladies.
I really like him.
Look at that
as the
mentor. What are you thinking?
He is the mentor on Project Runway, and I'll tell you why I like him. I'm not even a big Project Runway fan. I like him because he seems like a smart guy, seems like an articulate guy, seems like a guy who really owns that area of expertise. I mean, he seems unbelievably knowledgeable in what he's doing. He's been very, very successful. And he just, he's a sharp dresser, just seems like he's got it going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a startling confession yesterday on a show that I have not seen called The Revolution. Is this part of that new daytime lineup thing where it's all chat shows, no soap operas now? Is
when
that
ABC jettisoned all their daytime soaps, they replaced it with all these lifestyle shows, they call them, which is a reality show basically with a bunch of experts sitting around talking about health and diet and that kind of stuff. They've got The Chew, which is like The View, only about food and diet and that kind of stuff.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And The Revolution is about lifestyle changes, how to improve your love life and your relationships and that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, speaking of love life, here's what Tim Gunn had to say on an episode of The Revolution that aired yesterday that I think really surprised a lot of people.
I will share with all of you, and especially you, Dr. Tiffany, I mean, I haven't had sex in 29 years.
Wow.
Do I feel like less of a person for it? No.
Yeah.
I'm a perfectly happy, fulfilled individual.
No.
And I have feelings. I mean, it's not as though I'm some barren forest. I was in a very intense relationship for a long time, and my partner ended it saying that, quite frankly, he was impatient with my sexual performance. I don't want to imply to anyone that I have a mandate that says no sex. I don't. I don't know what's around the corner.
Mandate. See what he did there?
No mandates, that's for sure.
Why are they on the runway? Why is RuPaul's music playing in the background during this interview? Why are they in a rave during this interview? I don't understand it.
All right. Well, I have many thoughts about that soundbite. One is, he doesn't have a mandate against having sex. He doesn't know what's around the corner. He does know what's around the corner because he is choosing to not have sex. He knows he's not going to be having sex tonight or next month or next year because clearly he's decided that's how he wants to live his life.
Well,
right? It's a choice.
Here's the thing, Bean. There is a sexual orientation. There's a sexual identity that is non-sexual, which you have the heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, transsexual, and then asexual. Which these are people who have no sex drive, who have no compelling need to have sexual relationships. Okay?
Okay.
That is the identification. And then there's the people who choose, they have the sex drive, they have the sexual feelings, they choose not to act on them, and that's celibacy. So anyone who's not having sex over an extended period of time usually falls into one of these two categories.
What are you? What's your professional diagnosis on Mr. Gunn?
Well, I don't know. Judging on the fact that he was in a long-term relationship and it sounded like he didn't want the sex as much as his partner did.
And it wasn't going well.
And it wasn't going well because obviously he wasn't motivated sexually.
Yeah.
Perhaps he's asexual. Perhaps he doesn't have – he's able, like you said, to have a very fulfilled life. He feels very happy without sexual intercourse. It's not something that's a priority to him.
Now, do you believe a guy, and I know it's sometimes difficult to put yourself in somebody else's shoes, particularly in a lifestyle that's so radically different from yours, Ralph, in particular, but do you believe him when he says that he is 100% fulfilled and doesn't need and doesn't want and doesn't miss it?
If he's asexual, if he just somehow, if there's a biological or hormonal reason why he doesn't get those urges, I think it's perfectly plausible that he doesn't feel like he's missing out on anything. If he's celibate and he's choosing not to have sex, then I think he probably misses it, or there's a part of him that's not being fulfilled.
Because I get the impression, you know, the people you hear most about who are celibate are usually, you know, priests, for instance, come to mind. And I get the impression that they are making a choice to not have sex because they believe that is what they're supposed to do in their chosen profession.
Those are the rules. Yeah.
But they miss it, and they wish they could have it, and they just have a higher calling, right?
Sometimes repressed sexuality, in the case of many priests that we've seen, tends to leak out in less than healthy or deviant ways, you know?
Right,
if you
right.
sublimate that sexual urge, which is a primary just animal urge. We're all, you know, humans are animals, and we've got needs to eat and to breathe and to procreate. Those are like basic hardwired into our bodies. And if you sublimate that enough, I think eventually there will be a negative repercussion. But with asexual people, according to the studies, they just don't have that need, and they don't miss it.
I kind of get the impression, and by the way, who are we looking for here? Are we looking for people who are choosing to be celibate, or are we looking for people who are asexual and have no sex drive? Who would you rather talk to?
I say open it up. Let us know both. If you're choosing not to have sex, or if you just don't have any interest in it, we just want to talk to people who have gone long stretches of time in your life without any sex. If you're currently not having sex, you haven't had any in a long time, we'd like to talk to you and find out why.
And by a long time, we should say a minimum of what, like? 2 years, maybe.
Yeah, we're not
years,
talking about a dry spell
like
where you haven't had laid in a couple months, but this is an obvious
long term,
yeah, protracted period of time.
We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The only other thing that I was thinking is that part at the end where he talked about how, and Lisa, you made reference to the fact that it didn't sound like the sex was going well. Like his partner at the time, 30 years ago, was frustrated with him. It made it seem like maybe there was a. You know, there was a performance problem in the bedroom, and it was so humiliating or embarrassing that he just never wanted to put himself in that situation again. And I wondered if it could have been as something as simple as, I don't ever want to feel the way I felt that day where I didn't get it done.
But he said the guy was impatient with his sexual performance, which makes me think that maybe he didn't want to have sex, and he was asking this guy to wait and wait and wait and wait.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And bigger, this guy got tired of waiting because he wanted to have sex. And I think in Tim Gunn's situation, it is... I think it's got to be twice as difficult for a homosexual man to be in a relationship that's non-sexual versus a heterosexual couple. Because, and this isn't, you know, this isn't any kind of judgment on homosexuality, but they're tremendously sexual because they're, first of all, two men are involved. And because in homosexual relationships, even when you meet publicly or socially, there's not that gatekeeping process. Women are sort of culturally taught not to give up the sex, not to let it go easily, to get something in exchange either emotionally or in terms of some sort of commitment. When it comes to men, there's not that gatekeeping process. They're much more free and open with their sexuality. So there's an anticipation and an expectation, I think, in homosexual relationships that sex is going to be a big part of it very early on in the relationship. So for a guy like Tim Gunn, who's choosing not to have sex in a homosexual relationship, it must be difficult for him to find people to date and to partner up with because there is an even bigger expectation of sex, I think.
Yeah, it's a good point.
1-800-520-1067. If you are long-term celibate or asexual, just don't want it, don't care about it, don't miss it, don't need it, we want to hear from you. We'll take your calls coming up next right here on the Kevin and Bean. Right now we're talking about Tim Gunn on his Revolutions show on ABC yesterday. He, of course, is the style maker over there on Project Runway. Talking about how he hasn't had sex in 29 years.
Yeah, that's a gun that never leaves the holster. You know what I'm saying? You get me? You hear me, people? You hear what I'm saying?
I think we do.
You understand me?
We only have about 5 minutes to squeeze in some phone calls.
Come on.
Let's get good. Let's get Reed going with us. He's on line 4, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. He can relate to what Mr. Gunn is talking about. Hi, Reed. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, dude?
Hey, guys. Nothing much. Just want to let you guys know it's been 25 years of celibacy, and it's a, you know, it's a personal choice. Yeah, you know, as far as saying, it's a more of a commitment, a goal of mine, and I wanted to point out that it's always been my thought that I would have it's kind of like my ace in the hole when I find that girl that, I, you know, I really, really trying to win over, really need something to sway her. So that's kind of kept me.
You'll give up your celibacy for her?
Like, you know, like she, I would think that she would like the fact that I've been, you know, saving it this whole time for her and.
All right. Let me ask you this, though, Reed. Are you is it for religious reasons that you're just telling us that you've chosen to not have sex until you get married? Is that all that's going on here?
Well, that's correct. It's not so religious. That's not the main reason. It's more of like you know, a commitment, a personal commitment, and that I've made, and that, you know, I feel like I should. It, I also, it gives me the feeling that I stand out from everyone else.
Who hurt you?
You know,
Who hurt you?
This sounds psychological, Reed.
It does. How do you think
you
got ingrained in you?
Why do you stand out so much?
Because society and sex and all this and so much is so strong and so impounding these days, you know, on TV and whatnot, that's not common. And so that's just something that kind of makes me more unique, I guess.
Do you have much of a sex drive?
Yeah, I do. Like every other person, you know, they get horny, or guys, I guess they get horny, and I do, but I just kind of suppress it when it gets super strong. I just kind of, I just don't take it that next step.
Yeah. I wonder how much of a turn off that is to most women, hearing Reed describe his life, by the way. How many women go, wow, thank God I'm not dating him or don't meet him?
Yeah, I don't know a lot of women who have virginity as high on their priority list when it comes to a guy, Reed.
But maybe the right girl.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, and you see, it's not necessary that the girl I find, that she's a virgin as well, but I feel like she would appreciate that, and then other qualities that don't put me in, you know, in like a 10, A-plus category, that might help me, you know, look better in her eyes, and she'd see that commitment and just, you know, give her
Reed's got issues. Reed's got serious issues. Thank you for the call, man.
I smell self-esteem issues.
I do, too. By the way, everybody else is eating, too, Reed. Maybe you should really stand out by not doing that anymore. Let's try Rachel. Let's get the ladies' perspective here.
Hello.
Rachel, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What's going on, sweetheart?
Rach?
Hello?
Speak with us. Are we engaged here, Birma? We should have Rachel?
I don't hear anything on the other end. Maybe she hung up. Rachel?
Rachel says that she hasn't had sex in 3.5 years. Yeah. Let's try one more time. Rachel, hello?
Rachel, you there?
Hello?
Hey, Rachel.
Hello.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, try to keep up. We're doing a radio show here.
I'm sorry.
What's happening? Why 3.5 years without sex, Rachel? What's going on? How fat are you?
Oh, come on, Bean.
I'm actually not fat at all.
I bet you're hot.
What's happening?
Well, basically, I don't want to have sex with random people. Mm-hmm. I think it needs to mean something when you have sex. So I just haven't had sex because I haven't found someone that's worth it.
Worth it.
So I sort of understand that. If it got to be 5 years, if it got to be 10 years, is there a point at which maybe you lower your standards a little bit?
Well, I don't know. I haven't really thought about that.
But Rachel, sex is so much fun.
It is. I agree. I completely agree. I don't know. I think it needs to mean something for me. It's morally. I want it to be someone.
Is it difficult? Is it difficult though once you make that decision to keep celibate?
Sometimes I do. I find it difficult, but in the end result, it's worth it to me because I don't feel bad about myself for going with someone random at all. So.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, we got a guy named Reed we want you to meet that I think you'll like very much.
You guys are made for each other.
I'm glad you called. Thank you very much.
Blow the dust off that thing and get busy, Rachel. That's what I'm saying.
Lisa, you went 3.5 days once, didn't you? Don't I remember that was your record?
Hours, being you misunderstood.
It was hours. Next hour, we're very excited to welcome a big-time television producer. His name is Tom Beers. Listen to this. Listen to some of these shows that Mr. Beers has brought us. Storage Wars, for starters, Lisa May.
Oh, yeah.
Ice Road Truckers. 1,000 Ways to Die. Oh, I don't know. A little show called The Deadliest Catch, Mr. Beers is behind.
Wow.
And the new show called Black Gold, which is fascinating, which is debuting, I want to say, tomorrow night, I want to say. And this is just like The Deadliest Catch, except instead of bringing back fish up there in the waters of Alaska, they are panning for gold. These are people in the 21st century whose job it is to go out and look for gold. That's what they do.
That's crazy.
So fascinating stuff. And I got to figure out a way to get on that 1,000 Ways to Die show. That's the show I've always wanted to be on. I know I'm no actor, but seriously, even I can get on TV for 2 seconds and get a pipe through the head or something like that.
Sure, I'll put the pipe through your head.
I know you will. You'd love to play the actress who kills me. All right, we are holding on for Chael Sonnen and Michael Bisping. They're going to be joining us here in just a moment. Let's bring producer Dave in. Let Chip put him on hold. Bring producer Dave in because I want to talk a little bit about what this fight is all about. UFC on Fox 2 is going to be happening this coming Saturday night on the Fox channel. Of course, this is the free for everyone, this deal that was announced by Dana White a few weeks ago, that they're going to start putting some of the fights on the network, not for pay-per-view, not on cable, but actually on the network. Dave, you with us?
Yes, sir. What's up?
This is a big deal, right? I mean, I know that, you know, this isn't even the headline fight on Saturday night, yet this is the one that seems to be getting the lion's share of the attention. How come?
Because Chael Sonnen is crazy, and all he does is talk crap, and he's exactly what you want, like, to see, like, as a UFC fighter. He talks crap, and he's good. He backs it up.
Oh.
So,
well, what's funny is he says, I always get accused of talking trash. He says, I'm not talking trash. I'm just telling the truth. I'm just saying what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, he is the only guy to actually give Anderson Silva competition. He almost beat him. He would have beaten him if he didn't slip up and get choked out. But he showed everyone that that man can be beat.
And if he beats Bisping, that's where he's headed next, is he goes back to Anderson Silva. Is that the plan?
Yeah, that's the plan. Dana White guaranteed that he will fight him. And Chael Sonnen has said that Anderson Silva will not fight him since he exposed him, and that he will set his sights for George St. Pierre or John Jones, who is crazy.
Fantastic. And Michael Bisping, he will fight who next if he wins the fight?
This is a number one contending fight, so the winner will face him. The winner will face him.
All right, UFC on Fox 2 starts at 5 o'clock. Preliminary fights start at 2 on Fuel. And by the way, this is the same fight, the same card that Sugar Rashad Evans is going to be on. We spoke with him yesterday here on the Kevin Bean Show. We couldn't be more excited to welcome to the program Mr. Sonnen and Mr. Bisping, who I understand are both on the phone right now. Hey, guys, are you there?
Yes, we are.
It's so strange to me, knowing what you guys are going to be doing to each other's bodies on Saturday night, that you are on the phone together chatting it up just 2 days before. This is just weird.
Well, we've got a job to do. You know, we've got a massive fight on Saturday night, and we want people to tune in and watch. So we've got to get on the phone. We're professionals. Right. We're not going to attack each other if we see each other in a lobby. But we're going to fight. We're going to fight hard. But, you know, we want to let the people know about it. So here we are.
I understand.
When you were in school, when two kids walked outside at recess and started fighting, did they just do that spontaneously, or was there a conversation first?
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's definitely something that leads up to it. So personally, you guys don't have any trouble with each other. It's just, hey, this is our job. My job is to go in there and win, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. Essentially, that's what we're talking about here.
Well, you agreed. Could say that. You know, I mean, well, that's pretty much what it is. But for me, I kind of... It goes a little deeper because, you know, I try and look at my opponent as taking away my destiny and taking away, you know, money from my bank account, etc., and all those things. And it can get quite personal, but only in my head and only until after the fight.
You guys spend, Michael, let me ask you first. Have you spent a lot of time watching tape on your opponent? I mean, do you know what awesome wrestling skills he has, for instance? Is that the type of thing that you will work extra hard on for this fight?
Yeah, well, what I typically do is every time I find out who I'm fighting, I'll speak to the UFC, I'll get them to send me some copies of their fight. I'll watch them once, and then that's it, you know. I'm not going to sit around watching them beat guys up or knock them out, you know, and give them too much respect. I'll watch them once, I'll kind of get an idea of what they're about, their style, what they like to do, what they don't like to do, and then that's it. I forget about it, I focus on what I'm going to do. And what I'm going to do is go out there, fight with all my heart on Saturday night, and come away with a victory.
How about you, Chael? How much do you change up your approach based on who your opponent's going to be?
Yeah, I think he and I have a pretty similar approach to the sport. You know, you can't do a whole lot about it. Your opponent's skills are your opponent's skills, and you hear these stupid statements like game plan. Well, how am I going to come with a game plan? My skills are my skills. I can't change them. If I see that a big roundhouse kick is open to the right side of his head, but I don't possess a roundhouse kick, then what's the point? I've got my skills. I'm going to bring them. He's going to bring his skills. That's it. There's going to be no game plans, no footwork, and no strategies. There's going to be a fist fight in a steel cage on Saturday night.
Michael, how many guys have you sent?
There is a place for game plans and footwork. But, you know, that said, once the other guy starts fighting, sometimes the game plans go out the window. It's all well and good having a game plan until you get punched in the face and then you're fighting.
I think that's a good lesson. That's a good lesson for everyone to learn, is the game plan goes out the window as soon as you get punched in the face. I think that's true of everybody. How many guys have you sent to the hospital, Michael? It seems like that's been a trend through many of your fights so far.
Yeah, I wish I'd never said this yesterday at the press conference, but 7 out of 8 of my last opponents moved on to the hospital. And, yeah, I mean, I don't wish that on people, far from it. You know, I mean, that was just a statistic. And, you know, I mean, I go out there, I want to compete, I want to do my job, and I wish the guy well. And, you know, I'll share a beer at the bar with him afterwards any day of the week. But they're just the facts of it. It is a combat sport, and people get punched in the face, and I'm pretty good at it. So, unfortunately, sometimes they have to get checked out.
Chael, how much of a difference does it make to you when you are wildly favored, as you are, some people are saying, 5-1 or better in this fight? Is that does that play with your head at all, or are you able to ignore that?
Well, no, you can't ignore anything. You know, that's another fallacy fighters like to say is, oh, I ignore this. Look, people, we're just people. You hear those things, and it has an effect on you one way or the other. It's a new spot for me, you know. I'm never the favorite. I always take fights where I'm the underdog and had to climb the ladder and claw and scratch to the top. And, you know, frankly, those are ridiculous odds, man. I think I should be flattered by them, but I'll be the first to tell you, man, those are some crazy odds. This is a close fight. This is two top guys. You know, we're fighting each other because we're the only guys willing to fight each other. Nobody wants to fight Michael Bisping. Nobody wants to fight Chael Sonnen. So they call upon us and they ask us to pull through it. They bribe us with a big title fight down the road to do it. And those are compliments. You know, those are nice things. He's done a good job to get that respect from the guys in the back. I've done a good job to get the respect from the guys in the back. But the bottom line, this is the true championship. These are the true two top guys in the world at this weight class, and we will fight for the true honor of the division Saturday night live on Fox.
Dave, anything you want to know from the guys before we go?
Hey, Chael, so you said that if you win the fight, Dana White has guaranteed that you will fight Anderson Silva. You said that he will not fight you. Do you still believe that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I hate the topic, and that's not against you for asking it. I completely understand the question. I just got to get that guy. I got to get Anderson Silva's name out of my mouth. I'm so tired of promoting that prima donna phony. You know, that guy is no more relevant and no more real than Mike Tyson was when I was growing up, and he ought to have the same fate. He ought to go paint up his face, gain 100 pounds, sit in the second row, and try to get somebody to remember who he was because they don't matter anymore.
Chael Sonnen, Michael Bisping, it's going to be Saturday night. It's going to be a fantastic night of fights on Fox. Preliminary fights start at 2 o'clock on Fuel and then 5 o'clock on the West Coast on Fox, UFC on Fox 2. You guys are awesome, man. We can't root for both of you. I don't know how this is going to work, but I hope you guys both have a great time on Saturday night. And thanks so much for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you very much.
Keep listening. About an hour from right now, your chance to win a surfboard and be qualified for a trip to go down under for the Australia Open of Surfing.
Down under.
An expression meaning flying to the great country of Australia, where you'll also see Incubus in concert. It's destination number 4 of the K-Rock World Tour 2012 on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, then Dr. Drew right after the top of the hour. What's going on?
Let's ask Dr. Drew about Demi Moore.
Yes.
Absolutely.
She's huffing. She was huffing in her house. She was huffing like some sort of industrial cleaner or something, man. That's cheap, high, quick death right there. That's what huffing is.
That's what I hear.
Oh, no, wait a minute. She was just doing whippets. Whippets are tiny little metal canisters that have nitrous oxide in them. NOx, as we call it in the biz. And you just open them and go, and it's good for one hit, and then you go, oh, I'm so hot. Oh, that's over.
So that's what the can is made for. This isn't adapting a whipped cream can or something like that for those purposes.
Well, same gas is in whipped cream cans, so once the whipped cream is empty, you can suck on the bottle and get it from that.
Got it.
And they also comes in huge tanks because this is what dentists use for laughing gas. They put that on there and it gives you that twilighty feeling and you know, you get all spacey. So I don't know, maybe she's got one of those giant industrial tanks.
Hey, she can afford
with
it.
The face mask, yeah. So I'm not sure how she's taking it, but apparently that's what she did when paramedics were called and rushed her to the hospital. And according to other sources, she is going to rehab not only for substance abuse problems, but also for her eating disorder. She's shockingly thin these days. So
yeah.
That is the most embarrassing 911 call for a celebrity I can remember in a long time.
Have you heard it?
No. Oh. Just for that reason that she was, you know, doing nitrous oxide.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Nitrous oxide, the way you get high, and we can double check with Drew, but I believe this is how it works, is that the nitrous oxide takes the place of oxygen in your blood and brain. So you're starving your brain of oxygen, basically, that's what makes you all goofballs.
Hmm.
And I guess if you do that enough, she apparently had seizures and went into a state of semi-consciousness, or demi-consciousness, as one listener pointed
out.
So it can be serious, I guess, if you're depriving your brain of oxygen. That's something you would think your brain needs, right? Oxygen?
Yeah.
I wonder
what huffing does as well?
Yeah, that's what huffing does, too.
Yeah. I wonder if that's what Kevin's been doing all these years.
Hey, wait a minute. Now we have a reason.
Explain a lot.
And some of us like the old school ways to get loaded. Me, I like to drink. Apparently, so do Pat Sajak and Vanna White.
Really?
Oh,
great interview this week with Pat Sajak saying in the early days of Wheel of Fortune, he and Vanna would get loaded during their dinner breaks, come back and record more shows just drunk off their ass hosting Wheel of Fortune. I've always said, by the way, if you don't have a lot of talent, you want to be in show business, the best gig in the world, the biggest piece of cheese in the world is that game show hosting gig.
Yeah.
You work, I don't know, 4 or 5 months out of the year. You work a lot. You shoot like, you know, 5 or 6 shows a day. But you get paid an ass load of money, and then you just go about your business for the rest of the year.
Pretty sweet deal.
And it's not too hard, apparently, because Pat Sajak was doing it loaded. He said it was in the very early days of the show when you used to get fake money, and then you'd have to buy stuff. Remember, mm-hmm. they'd say, okay, for $100, you can get the lamp or whatever. And he said because of all those prizes, we had endless time between shows. Our dinner breaks would be 2 hours long, and the nearby restaurant where he and Vanna would go to eat, they served great margaritas, he said. So Vanna and I would go across and have 2 or 3 or 6 and then come and do the last shows and have trouble recognizing the alphabet. They're really good tapes to get a hold of. So, job I could do drunk. That's all I'm asking.
Did they ever hook up, by the way? Does that come up in the interview?
He doesn't say.
Vanna's a good looking lady.
Yeah. I don't believe so. I bet
still
Pat,
is.
Pat's been married, I think, to the same woman for a long time.
Okay.
I get the sense he's pretty straight arrow, except for that whole working drunk business. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sarah Rue, less than perfect fame. I was informed by a listener that apparently she's a semi-regular on Rules of Engagement as well.
Oh, I do.
Whatever that is.
Which explains why I haven't seen her lately. She's 34 years old. Paul Johansson of One Tree Hill is 48. Ellen DeGeneres turns 54. And Edward Van Halen. He plays a little guitar, don't you know? He's 57 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I knew this radio thing wasn't going to work out for me, but now at least I've got a backup plan. I'm going to be on the Bering Sea Gold Show. I'm going to be a gold panner in Alaska.
Oh,
that's going to be my new job.
That's your new plan.
Yes.
I can think of no one who is better suited for the hard, brutal labor of panning for gold in the Bering Sea than you, Bean. You, being the physical specimen that you are, I think you'd be an excellent, excellent gold miner.
It's a brand new show from Discovery. We're going to talk to their producer, Tom Beers, coming up here in just a few minutes. He's also the brains behind Storage Wars, so we've got a lot to talk with Mr. Beers about. First, though, speaking of guys we're excited to have on the show, Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us every Thursday here on the Kevin and Bean Show from the HLN on CNN Headline News program and, of course, the CW's Life Changers and our own Love Line. Hey, Doc, how are you, man?
Hey, gentlemen, I'm just trying to erase from my mind the image of Bean in his lanky body kneeling down over some river with a pan. It's just something I can't quite get out of my mind.
Hey, it's all high tech now, man. They do it totally different in the 21st century, but it's good stuff. Listen, Drew, I'm glad you're with us today because there is a medical story in the news that caught many of us by surprise. When we heard Demi Moore was taken away, 911 call, they took her away, and now she's in rehab, we thought, what's she gotten herself into? And I have to tell you, if I had 50 guesses, I would not have come up with whippets. What's this about? What do you know about this story, Drew?
Well, the whippets is somewhat of an assumption. All we really know is, or what we're hearing is, apparently from a reasonable source or a good source for TMZ and Radar Online, that nitrous oxide is what she was using quite a bit of. And that is not that unusual. I mean, Steve-O, that was his drug of choice. If you remember, what really sent him over the edge and sent him into this sort of manic, quasi-suicidal state, It was nitrous oxide, and whippets is one source of it, but many people have, you can get it online, there's all kinds of ways people get about it. Whippets just caught on the press.
So you get a big tank of it, and you can put that mask on and just suck it as long as you like, right, Drew?
Just go nuts. Yeah. Steve-O had a whole room full of that stuff. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's very sad. People get nutty on that stuff. They can get what's called an ascending polyneuropathy, where they lose the ability to breathe and walk. They can get psychotic. They can become suicidal, as Steve-O did. They can become manic. And, you know, whether that was her drug of choice or just happened to be something that she was into that night. And by the way, as you heard, it can also cause seizures.
Now, Drew, double-check me on this, but I am assuming the high comes from your depleting oxygen to the brain, or you're replacing it with the nitrous oxide?
You know, the mechanism is a little more complicated than that, but there's also seems to be some aspect of the actual product getting in there causing a euphoric effect. But yeah, there is some of that as well, the hypoxia.
Are there legitimate uses to buy this beyond, you know, we think of that's what they give you at the dentist or whatnot to do procedures on you, but why would Demi Moore, would she have any kind of legitimate use for that other than to use it for nefarious purposes to get high?
She is using it to get high, period. There's no way she's using it for anything else.
Right, gotcha. And I'm surprised to hear you say it's not that uncommon, because this is the first time, I mean, I'm glad you brought up Steve-O, I had forgotten about this, but this generally isn't what people of means use to get high. Usually they find something a little more fun to do, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, for people that like nitrous, I mean, although it's, you know, not impossible to come by, you can imagine it's a little cumbersome to keep that habit up, if indeed it's a habit. I mean, she may have just been doing it that night. But, yeah, you're right. Pharmaceuticals are certainly the drugs of choice these days.
I'd love to see her wheeling a tank behind her like an old lady going to bingo.
And last question on this, and then we'll move on to the Tim Gunn story that's also making news, Dr. Drew. And that is, could the nitrous oxide that she was doing, would that have contributed to her not feeling like or wanting to eat, which has led to a lot of people saying, wow, she's anorexic since she and Aston broke up?
Right. The possibility as it pertains to her weight loss are drug use generally. Almost any drug of abuse, even alcohol, makes you not want to eat. I mean, whether it's opiate or maybe benzos, not so much. But drug addicts lose weight. I mean, that's just a common thing. Secondly, could be some sort of stress or grief reaction to the breakup. Thirdly, depression. And then, actually, in fact, for me, sort of far down the list is eating disorder. Now, remember, Demi was treated back in the 80s, early 90s, for addiction. So we know she has that problem. So whenever somebody with addiction, you know, it's a lifelong condition. It's not something you ever get over entirely. It's always there to come back and relapse. So if anyone with a history of addiction starts to look or behave strangely, you know it's addiction again.
Gotcha. All right. Let's turn our attention to Tim Gunn just for a couple of minutes here with our friend Dr. Drew on the Kevin and Bean Show. He came out on his program on ABC yesterday and said he had not had sex for 29 years, but that he felt like he had a completely fulfilled life. It didn't seem to me, Ralph, am I reading this wrong? It didn't seem to me like he regretted it or was missing it at all, right? Mm-mm. What's, in your opinion, what is often behind that when something like that happens? I know you're going to say there was trauma or he got touched, right, Doc?
Well, no, actually, in a male, when a male, particularly a younger male, loses the desire for sex, and for that matter, erectile dysfunction too, this is as a separate issue, but by far and away, the first thing you think of as a clinician is medical problems. You think remember Ken Baker, the guy that works for E! News? Now, he wrote a book called Man Made, where he had lost his sex drive as a young man, and he had a prolactin secreting tumor in his pituitary gland.
Yeah.
I mean, men don't, that's not a normal physiology for a male, so you immediately do a complete medical workup.
And we talked to listeners earlier, Drew, that just said that they were asexual, that it just was something that they weren't interested in. Is that, like you're saying, that's almost always a physical thing?
Well, I wouldn't say almost always, but that's the first thing you want to rule out. Were these males you were talking to or females? Because it's much more common in a female than a male.
Males.
Wow. Well, you'd want them worked up. First order of business. And secondly, yes, maybe you'd want to look at trauma issues, Bean. That's the next thing. And then there are people whose engines just idle at a low rate. But, they're out there, and they can function normally and have normal relationships, but they have limited libido.
Loveline airs Sunday through Thursday nights, 10 to midnight, right here on good old K-Rock. Of course, Dr. Drew on HLN every night at 6. And I want to give a special shout-out to your CW shows today at 3 and 3:30 because you've got J.R. Martinez on, meeting a little girl who was also involved in a terrible burn accident like J.R. was in war. Is that guy the most inspirational person you've ever met, Dr. Drew? Because he blows me away every time I see him interview.
Yes, and when we got to him, we actually filmed this a while ago before he won Dancing with the Stars, before he really blew up, and he is just the most humble, great, just one of the greatest guys you could ever possibly meet. And, yes, thank you for mentioning that, Bean. Look forward in February. We have all new shows, and they are really good.
Is the little girl suing JR in front of Judge Drudy? I'm confused, Drew.
That's the best reaction we've ever gotten from Dr. Drew. All right, Doc, thanks so much for your time. We'll talk to you next time, sir.
All right, take care.
Tito Ortiz joins us tomorrow
here on All
New. Nope, different Tito on an all-new Kevin and Bean show tomorrow. And by the way, Ralph, who's this guy that we have coming in who has predictions for 2012? Is he some sort of world-renowned psychic or
Jerry what? Jerry is not world-renowned. I doubt he's even a psychic.
Oh, really?
But he does not suffer from a lack of self-confidence.
Yeah, does he have a track record where he has made outstanding predictions in the past and that's why we should give him the airtime or what?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Just a guy who says he knows what's going to happen.
He's a guy who says he does predictions, and I've seen his work on television, and it's hilarious. And he's unintentionally, I think, on Jerry's part. So I'm just hoping we'll have some fun when he comes in and tells us, I think there's going to be some major happenings in the weather around the world this year. It's those kind of predictions.
That
sounds like a good use of time.
Very fun.
All right, we are waiting for Mr. Tom Beers. He is the producer of the Bering Sea Gold Show, debuting tomorrow night on the Discovery Channel.
These are men. These are men, by the way, who do this. These are real men.
It's a tough job, yeah.
These are not beans. These are men.
Tom can't afford to be late and strolling whenever the hell he wants because he's so rich. I think he has an automobile that doesn't run on gas, doesn't run on electricity. It runs on $100 bills. I think that's what he's driving around with. He just burns hundreds. That's how he gets there. So he's going to step in any moment now. We'll talk about Bering Sea Gold. While we're waiting, Lisa May, you just put up a brand new post at krock.com. The kids can come out and see you and the cute animals this weekend. What's up?
Yes, it's the Wildlife Learning Center. It's their annual fundraiser. They have all these amazing animals that they rehabilitate, and then because they can't be released into the wild,
they have substance abuse problems.
They take care of them for the rest of their lives.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Is it Dr. Drew's animal rehab?
Yeah, pretty much.
And, so wait a minute. If I've got a goat who breaks his leg and I bring him there, they fix the leg, and then they just take care of the goat forever?
Well, if there's no place else to put the goat.
Oh, my goodness.
It's generally things like
goat lake is where you take the goat, by the way. That's what I'm saying. Porcupines, like wild animals?
And lynx and civets and prairie dogs, and there's monkeys, and there's a bald eagle and owls. I mean,
craziness.
Everything. Sloths. How often do you get to see a sloth?
Every day at work.
Yeah, we work for one, our producer.
That's
all right,
a good
so
point.
People go where and what time?
So it's the Wildlife Learning Center. It's in Sylmar. It's from 2 to 5 on Saturday. It's a big, fun event, and you're going to be able to have experiences with these animals you normally couldn't.
Yeah.
And I just put up a post all about it to explain what they do and everything. And so please come out and come with me. It's
can you
gonna
visit
be a lot
this
of
place
fun.
When you're not there?
Yes,
not that I don't want to see you, but is it open like year-round? You can go there and
it
see
is,
these different
and
animals and stuff?
Very inexpensive year round. I think right now the entrance fee on a non-fundraising day is like $6, which is cool. You can take the kids and
yeah, I was gonna say my little girl loves the zoo. We've taken her there already. She's just about 2 years old, and this sounds even better. Sounds like a cooler zoo than the zoo.
It is because you get so close.
Yeah,
yeah, it's really awesome.
She can get mauled by a civet.
If you want to hang out with Lisa May and talk to the animals, you can do that. Go to krock.com for all the details. And that event is going to be this Saturday. Apparently, our producer guy Tom Beers from the Discovery Channel is here. Ralph, we'll take a break and come back and talk about how we are going to be the next multimillionaires panning for gold right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean.
These guys are cool, but not that cool.
K-Rock.
Producer Tom Beers is here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. The man who brought you the Ice Road Truckers, A Thousand Ways to Die, Deadliest Catch,
Keep
Storage
going.
Wars.
Yep.
Tomorrow night, Bering Sea Gold on the Discovery Channel. Listen to this.
Nome, Alaska. For 9 long months, a frozen port on the edge of the Bering Sea. But come summer, the glacial ice melts. And treasure hunters from around the globe migrate to this remote outpost.
Let's get this show on the road.
Because hidden in these frigid waters is a fortune in gold.
Tom, who's your VO guy? He's brilliant. That guy is awesome. Whoever you use on your shows for that VO guy.
I think that was Scratch Track, actually. I don't really think that was like real voice.
Tom, sober. Why don't you talk like that all the time since you can? Why don't you come in and go, hey, Kevin and Bean, how are you?
I it's the weirdest thing. I mean, when that microphone gets in front of me, it's a different voice. You know, all of a sudden you need to put all this gravitas in it. You know, it's kind of like you really want to go, yo, dudes, look at them badasses getting gold.
Bering Sea Gold. What a fantastic idea for a show. Once again, just like with Ice Road Truckers, man, there is gold in them, their hills of Alaska. And you're the one who's finding it and bringing it to TV because these jobs we never knew existed until you started putting them on the Discovery Channel. Tell me when you first realized, hey, there are still people panning for gold in 2012.
Gold, I've always been fascinated by gold. I'm like, seriously, I mean, any place I've gone, I mean, South Africa, Namibia, any place I go, I try and track down and see if anybody's panning for gold up in Canada, northern Canada too, you know, because it's just there's something about finding that stuff. And I found a couple of gold nuggets when I was a kid in Astoria up by you, in Oregon on
really?
The beach, and it just stuck with me my whole life. So any chance I've got, so I've always got my ear open for gold, and I've got a couple other projects I'm working on in gold mines. I actually own some shares in a gold mining thing just because
really?
Just because I want to go, I'm obsessed with it. So But this show came about because of another show that I did for Discovery. It was the Iditarod. In the Iditarod, we tracked, you know, the dog sleds, the mushers, all across Alaska, and they end up in Nome. And at the end of that, when we were up there, there along the shore, there were these kind of odd-looking boats, these strange, like, look like, you know, a couple of aluminum rowboats lashed together with all this machinery. I'm like, what the hell is this? And all of a sudden, I started to ask around. I realized that these are gold dredges. And I realized that these guys have been doing this. They've been doing it for a while, you know, so I thought, ooh, there's something here. And so then we sent somebody up and spent some time and realized.
When we think gold miners,
yeah,
the image is the great gold rush and old prospectors with burrows and pickaxes and stuff. It's hard. I didn't even know this stuff was still going on. What kind of turnout are they getting out there? What kind of amounts of gold are they pulling out of the Bering Sea?
Well, here's the funny part. I was actually just the other day, a couple of weeks ago, I'm shooting another series, and I was in the Museum of Natural History here in L.A., mm-hmm. and they have a gold room. They have a room in there, and they have real gold nuggets that were found up in Placer, California, Placerville, you know, that big find back in the 1800s.
Right.
There are gold nuggets there the size of a softball. I mean, they're a massive gold, and it's $1 million worth of one nugget. It's $1 million, you know, and that's the old days. And that was what real gold, that's what it was about. Now, over, you know, 150, 200 years, you know, that's all played out. And then the mines, the placer mines that afterwards, you know, where you go and then you'd go through all the tailings and look for just a little bit of gold because the cost of gold has gone from $400 an ounce to, you know, almost $2,000 an ounce sometimes. Mm-hmm. So in essence, it's worth going back. But up there, it's different. Up there, those nuggets, there still are nuggets. The glaciers, when they melted out and they came out, they dragged literally a lot of dirt across the bottom. And those things, and all that, as it melts out, it ends up in the bay, in the ocean floor. So what we got here now are nuggets, actually some of them the size of your thumb. And that, so
this is like
just
brand new gold.
It's new gold. Yeah, yeah. And it's laying out there. Now, to get it, remember, this ain't easy. And that's the thing I want to, you know, to the audience, they don't do this at home because in essence, you're talking about guys that literally got to go out in these boats that you swear to God they're not seaworthy at all. And there's only one or two of them on the boat at a time, and basically they've got a couple of motors, like old outboard motors or regular motors, like lawnmower motors. One's a compressor that pumps air into your air hose, so you go down to the bottom with your air hose, and the other one pumps hot water through your wetsuit to keep you from dying in 36 degree water. So you're down there for, you know, 4 or 5 hours at a time, holding a great big hose is about 26 inches in diameter, sucking up the ocean floor. And once that, and then it all comes up through these hoses and it lands in this long tray that water washes through. Now, gold is 10 times heavier than water. So as it goes along this 10-foot tray, as the water's pushing out and it goes back out the other end into the ocean again, it just drops, all of gold drops to the bottom. And it lands in this stuff, it looks like almost like astroturf. And then about once a week, you grab that AstroTurf and you empty it out, rinse it out, and all that stuff falls out. And then you pan and you pull up gold. Mm. But you see nuggets, though. And the coolest thing, this is the coolest part, the nuggets. I remember a guy pulls one nugget up. It was the size of his little fingernail, right? And I love how he kind of translated that to money. He looks at it and he goes, okay, you know what this is? This is 10 cases of beer and steak for a week.
Let me ask you about the people who choose to go into this line of work. And this is the voice of Tom Beers here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about his new show, Bering Sea Gold, airing tomorrow night on the Discovery Channel. Alaska is the final frontier. It does seem to be the place in America where it's easy to find people who are ready to throw it all away and try something completely new and really shoot the moon. I mean, they're so entrepreneurial up there. Tell me about the Alaskans you meet.
Well, you know, if you ever read Michener's book about Alaska, it's funny because he talks about the fact that, that when the ice bridge happened, you know, like a gazillion years ago, and all those guys came up from Asia, it's not like they said, hey, I like this Alaska, let's just live here. Nah, they went, boy, this sucks. And they started heading south because it's so cold. So they all moved south over the millennia again, and they ended up at the equator. And then they said, oh, this is, and then they started growing this way. But anybody that was misanthropic, that didn't like being around people, they kept heading either north or south, right? And so then the misanthropic of the misanthropic of the misanthropic kept going farther north or north or north, and then ended up in Alaska again. It's where it all started, but it's the last place in the world anybody wants to live. But at the same time, you got to be a hardy soul. I always say about, you're up in Seattle, man. I mean, the people up there, it's like in their DNA, you know, there's something about that world world, that weather or something. You can survive in tougher in climates, but at the same time, there is this entrepreneurial spirit because there's no rules up there, man. All bets are off. It's like, take a chance. There's a great story about, you know, women would go up there looking for a husband, you know, and there are 10 men for every woman, so the woman's got a great chance. But the saying is, you know, the goods are odd, but the odds are good, but the goods are odd.
Yeah. Be careful what you wish for. You got a husband from Alaska, right?
Yeah.
Now, everyone, and we've talked about it so many times on the Kevin and Bean Show, everyone loves the deadliest catch, and part of the thrill is seeing, A, who's going to die this week, but or get seriously hurt because it's incredibly dangerous work, but B, who's going to really get the big score? And that's kind of the same deal with your gold show with Bering Sea Gold, is some of these people go out there and they're working just as hard as the guy next to them. They're making squat. Other people are literally walking away with hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? And you don't know which way it's going to go when you suit up in the morning.
No, that's true. And basically, yeah, they're all taking the same chances, and you're watching these guys. Boy, and it's amazing. It, literally right next to each other, one guy's just striking out big time. The other one's making a ton of gold. It's like, oh my God, you feel for these guys. Like Scott Meisterheim, one of the guys that really just, he has the toughest year. But the thing is, what I love about him is the stakes. He leaves his second wife to go to Alaska to pay for child support that he owes for his first wife and their children. Mm. So he's up there on his own and he's trying, working his butt off to make, and he's not getting squat. Mm. And he keeps saying, he's like, dude, you know what? You don't realize that the ramification of this is that when I go back home, I'm going to jail. And, to be really honest, I just read a newspaper article the other day that, he's in jail.
You have to have a certain sense of sort of self-delusion, I think, to be one of these guys. Because it is almost a pipe dream. The odds are against you that you're going to be able to strike it rich, yet these guys keep going back. They're almost like gambling addicts. Well, it's almost like Storage Wars, your other show, where they keep going back to these storage places, thinking that inside there, they're going to hit something big that's going to make all the hard work worthwhile.
Well, I've always thought that, to me, that formula of high risk and high reward is really, really key to anything. What my shows are, most of us, we know what our paycheck's going to be. Yeah. At the end of 2 weeks, we know exactly how much we're going to get paid, to the penny almost. And we pretty much know what our lives are going to be like from one day to the next. And both of that, because of that consistency and, mundane element to that, that's why these shows work, because you never know what these guys are going to make. You never know. It's make it or break it. You never know. And I think that there's that infinite hope that we all have that somebody can just, go for it and take the big shot and win. And that's hope.
Bering Sea Gold is the show we're talking about. Premieres tomorrow night on the Discovery Channel at 10. I will tell you this. There's one woman, at least in episode one, there's one woman named Emily who's working on one of these ships. And she's about a 4 in the lower 48. But somehow she looks so hot up there working on that boat in Alaska because she's the only woman within 2,000 miles. I bet she's incredibly popular with the guys who are paying for gold.
Tom
knows something.
Yeah, it's amazing though. Yeah, she's kind of hot. But what was cool is she's like this opera singer too.
Really?
And she's trying to make money so that she can go to Italy and go to college to learn to train to be an opera singer. Yeah. So that to me was the incongruity of that was really fun. They're old friends, and also she is Steve, the guy in Scott's boat, that's his daughter. So it's a father and daughter that went up there to try and strike it rich together. And I love that little spark and little love affair the two of them get. But him on the Clark, not her and her dad.
No, yes, understood. Yeah. Understood.
This sounds like a bunch of lunatics up there.
Opera singers
looking to go to Italy. Get a job. It's so much easier.
They got a job. They got a job paying it for gold, Ralph. That's what they're doing. Yeah. All right. Listen, we are out of time. Ralph, Tom, I don't know how much time you have, but Ralph, would you be willing to give up your beat coming up next so we can keep Tom around for one more? Because I know we have to talk about Storage Wars.
Absolutely.
Tom,
Tom,
do you have time? Can you,
that show.
Can you stay till the top of the hour, Tom?
No, it'd be my pleasure. Yep.
Yep. We'll be right back at the Kevin and Bean. Ralph, I apologize that we bumped your showbiz beat.
You kidding me? We get to talk Storage Wars. I don't care.
Tom Beers is here. He is the producer of, you were saying during the song, you have how many shows on the air right now, Tom?
I've got 14 series on 7 networks.
I feel like such a slug right now.
I get the sense, Tom, that your success stems from an innate curiosity you have about how people live and how they make a living.
Thank you. Yeah, no, great observation. To be really honest, I suffer from wanderlust more than anything else. I'm absolutely, you know, curious about the world, and this job affords me the ability. It takes me to places that nobody else can go. I mean, I've lived with tribes of Indians, the Kayapos, in the Amazon for, you know, months at a time. You know, and jungle hammocks. I've shot in 21 countries in Africa. I mean, to me, it's all about getting out there and finding the most unique and, you know. But the reward is, if I make a great show, I can go someplace else. You know. So right. It's always that carrot and stick.
But you continually introduce the public to professions that we didn't even know existed. The Ice Road Truckers thing was fascinating. The Deadliest Catch, we didn't know that went on when that was going on. And Storage Wars, which everyone here on the show knows I'm obsessed with. I'll sit down and watch those marathons. I can't get away from the television because it's such a simplistic idea, and yet it's so compelling. Did you ever imagine you'd have the success you're having with that show?
Well, you know, it really actually took me by surprise. And I thought it'd be a clever show, and I love the idea of when that door opens up, you have no idea what's behind it. And I went there the first time. Actually, I was tracking, I was tracking 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I see these trucks around, and I was following them. Going, and I talked to them. I said, do you mind if we put somebody on your truck for a week? Because I'm just curious about that.
I use them all the time. They clean out my garage. Yeah.
So basically, they kept going back to storage units, and they're emptying all this junk out of them. I'm going, well, where's the junk from? And they said, well, from these auctions. So then I went to an auction once, and I went crazy. I actually bought stuff. I'm like, dude, I want to buy it. It's like you get obsessed, and I bought it, and I got nothing, you know. But still, I loved it. But the guy next to me, he found all this Suge Knight stuff that he'd left behind, like a whole suit's an armadillo jacket size like 900 or something, this massive, huge jacket. And it was all of Suge Knight's clothes were in this storage container. So it was like, wow, this is really cool. It could be, you know, I got nothing but squat. I got Diddly Squat, but they got Suge Knight.
I've always wanted to ask this question, and with our previous Storage Wars guests, I never thought of it. But Tom, is it a rule you made up for the TV show that you're not allowed to go into the storage container to look around, or is that how they do the auctions, where you can just peek in the door but you can't touch?
That's it. That's how they do it. You know, they've done it that way. So that was the great part. Like, oh my God, this is awesome. Now, it's funny because I'm actually looking right now, we're creating the same show in Great Britain, but Great Britain, they have a different way of terms of trade. What they do is they take over the storage containers, but then they just sell it. But my show is on the air in the UK, and it's so popular there that they're going, well, you know what? Why don't we just do some auctions? So they're actually changing their terms of trade so we can make a television show.
You're inventing new jobs now that you can make TV shows.
It's so cool. It was awesome.
The casting is so great on your shows. And let's face it, whatever reality show you're watching, whether it's old school like Survivor or American Idol or any of the shows that we're talking about with you, it's the personalities that people are attracted to and fall in love with. Are you the guy who, I mean, you had lots of people to choose from for Storage Wars. Are you the guy who picked Dave, for instance, or picked, you know, any of these guys to be on the program?
Yeah. We we've got to run it by the network, but we make our recommendations. And we followed for about a month. We followed a number of auctions and trying to pick, because you're always looking for iconic characters. You know what you're looking for is you want the rookies, the greenhorns. You want the old guy trying to make that last big strike. You want the guy everybody's going to love to hate. You know, mm-hmm. You want the guys everybody's going to run to love to love. You know, and so it's the underdog. So you really look for those iconic characters. And this, I mean, it was simple. They were all there. They're at these auctions except for Barry. And you know, the true story about Barry is, and I've known Barry Weiss for a good 14-15 years. He's an antique dealer, and also really high end bikes and stuff like that. Classic. I bought 10 years ago. I bought a 48-foot 1951 all aluminum Spartan mobile home from him because for a television show. But I just love the mobile home and I want it. And you know, BSAs, old bikes.
He shows up with a different vehicle every time he comes to an auction.
He seems rich. Yeah. He doesn't seem desperate like some of the other players on the show. He seems like a guy who does it because he enjoys it but doesn't need the money.
Yeah, well, I'd say I put him in the show because he'd never done those before. So I said, you might like this because I wanted to build a show around him. He actually made all his money. Him and his brother, they've got what's it called? Western fruit and vegetables. They sell fruit and vegetables to like cruise ships. They're the number one supplier to cruise ships and to restaurants, vegetables and fruit. And it's been in the family business for a couple of generations. So that's where he made his money. So he didn't need the money. And that's the fun part about Barry. He give a heck about anything. He's just out there having some fun.
Talking about the Storage Wars with producer Tom Beers, of course, in Bering Sea Gold, the new show that debuts tomorrow night on Discovery. All right, since you're here in studio, I have to ask. when are you going to put me on A Thousand Ways to Die? When are you going to put Kevin and Bean on and have us get killed by something?
Bean, we've asked you
every time we have you on to promote something, we say, why can't we die on TV? It would make our listeners so happy, Tom.
Dude, you know, I'm telling you, we will do that in a heartbeat. You know, I'm not kidding you. You want to die?
We want to die because that's what you do on the shows. You have recreations of people who do stupid things that get them killed. No one is better suited for that. I've been training my whole life to be a guy who does something stupid and gets killed.
And he loves death.
I love death.
He's obsessed by it.
I know you get obsessed. I love the fact that you love that show. And look, we're in production right now. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I'd be very happy to kill you.
Oh, good.
You just tell me.
You just made my day, Tom. I'm waiting for someone to say that to Bean forever.
And Ralph, you would like to do the killing if at all possible.
If there's a role for me, I'd be happy to kill you.
Well, you just let me know what time and where, Tom, and I will 100% absolutely be there. I'm so excited.
All right.
All right. You produce some of the best shows on TV. It's always a thrill whenever we get a chance to catch up with you. Thank you so much for coming back in studio, man. We really, really enjoyed it.
Thanks.
And this Bering Sea gold, folks, you got to check it out. If you can't believe there are people making a living painting for gold, it's way, way harder than you think it is. It's going to be tomorrow night on the Discovery Channel at 10. Tom Beers has been our guest. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, man, so much.
Hey, congratulations to John Aguilar from Los Angeles. He just won a surfboard and is qualified for a 10-day trip to Australia.
Australia!
Australian Open of Surfing going on down there. And, oh, yes, the little band Incubus is going to be performing, too. And John will see them as well if he wins the grand prize drawing next week. Your chance to qualify with Kat coming up just after noon today here on the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, it's time for a brand-new Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Producer Dave, the King of Mexico, in studio with us right now. Hi, Dave.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Dave does a great job of rounding up all of the best viral videos on the internet every week so that you don't have to go search for them. You have them in one handy place. And am I right about this? If you go look at krock.com today like you should and check out the Internet Roundup videos, you can also click back and see all of the Internet Roundup videos that we've ever posted, right?
Yeah, from this year, from 2011, 2010, you know, the top 10 from last year, we got them all.
Yeah, it's all archived. Yeah, we got them all. You never have to work again if you just have an internet browser. You can just watch our videos. There are two that we're not going to play audio for that I want to mention. One is a commercial for something in Portuguese. We can't tell what it is, but it has 50 Megan Foxes in it. 50 Megan Foxes. Tell me that's not a video that you need to check out. And the other one is one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen, and it's a security camera video of a guy who walks into an elevator. He's got his dog on a leash. Lisa, have you seen this yet?
No.
He's got his dog on a leash, and for whatever reason, he's not paying attention, or he thinks the dog followed him into the elevator or something, but the doors close. So now he's holding a leash, and his dog is on the other side of the elevator door as the elevator starts going down.
Oh, my God. That's my nightmare.
I think I read he broke his hand from the force of the elevator going down when he was thrown to the floor because he was hanging onto this leash.
Oh.
Wait till you see what happened to the dog on the other side. Now, I don't want anybody to get freaked out. The dog ends up being fine.
Oh, God.
But it's a crazy situation. I mean, how freaked out must the dog have been when all of a sudden the elevator starts moving and he's still attached to a leash?
Oh, dear God.
But it's unbelievable security cam video. You must go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com to see it. One of our listeners named Sebastian emailed us and said, I'm in love with the moments with that you guys do on the show, and I want to start animating them. And he has animated the first one. This is the moment with Kevin that you can now see a video for as part of the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
By the way, just for the movie theaters, there's not one size that fits all.
Yeah.
I didn't think it could be any better than just hearing it, but seeing it is even better, so definitely check that out. Here's one called Surprise Party that I think you're going to like. I don't even really follow the story in this one. I didn't really pay attention. This is a woman's enormous boobs that are dressed up with little smiley faces and hats. The breasts, Lisa, are talking to each other in this video.
I can't take it anymore!
Stop shaking around so much, you're making me f***ing crazy!
He's planning on a whole series of those, I guess he's doing with his wife or girlfriend or model or something, right, Dave?
Yeah, and I like how they change the facial expressions on all the, you know, on the different times, and so the boobs are just moving around jiggling, it's awesome.
It's hilarious. Vanilla Ice goes down to Silver Lake, he's decided he's wearing a baseball cap and he's got, you know, a flannel shirt on, buttoned up to the top. He's decided it's not working for him in rap, he can't get a hit in pop anymore. It's time for him to go indie rock. Let's see how Vanilla Ice, yes, that guy, the Ice Baby guy, goes over with the hipsters.
A lot of people might say, Ice, why get into the indie rock game? Well,
You already know that I'm a world-renowned rapper, but these hipsters, they have way more disposable income than most kids who listen to hip-hop.
Yeah, like, dude. I buy Vanilla Ice records, like, once a month just to, like, do it ironically.
I think it's actually more making fun of hipsters than it is making fun of Vanilla Ice, because the hipsters are looking around to decide whether it's cool or not. Vanilla Ice is there. They can't decide how they feel about it. Our friends who songify the news are back. They took on Vermin Supreme. He's the guy that we talked about here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He was the guy who dressed up like a wizard and was running for the Democratic nomination in the primary in New Hampshire. He also is the guy who got up at a city council meeting, if you recall, and he was sprinkling fairy dust on somebody to try to turn him gay, and that's the portion of the press conference that the Songify the News guys chose for this.
And my name is Vermin, and okay,
do you still stand by your pony pledge?
Yes, I do. Green ponies were all. Turn all that pony poop to bathing gas. One more thing, Jesus told me to make Grant very gay.
He's turning gay! Turning gay!
He's not turning gay. It doesn't work that way. And I'm very sad we're not going to get free ponies for everybody since Mr. Supreme is not going to be elected. Jimmy Kimmel is back this week on the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. This week in unnecessary censorship. This is where he beeps things whether they need it or not.
This week in unnecessary censorship.
This is definitely the most f***ed up debate we've seen yet.
I'm never shied away from a f***, particularly when I considered the to be righteous.
And I don't think anybody believes that, you know, I f***ed a horse in this race, and I certainly haven't.
Tell me about the new hardcore star, Dave, that is on the Internet Roundup this week.
There's this little girl from Australia who her dad recorded her recorded a song with her, and this is called My First Hardcore Song.
Sorry. Get your two-step on.
That one is called My First Hardcore Song, and she's going for it. Way to go, Juliet.
Who doesn't love their dog, by the way? So,
exactly.
She's singing about the love of her dog and her fishes, and she's so adorable. I actually bought the song on iTunes. I liked it.
It is hilarious that she's doing hardcore, though. A couple more videos for you on the Internet Roundup this week, including this is an awesome opportunity. I guess a woman is in the hospital. She just had a baby. The kid is hooked up to a fetal heart monitor, which provides the beat, and I guess the father decides, hey, I can do something with that beat.
Dilated, cervix, have a baby, hee hee, hoo hoo, that's how I breathe now, know what I'm talking about, it's about to go down, contraction.
He's awesome. He is awesome.
Oddly enough, I bought that on iTunes as well.
And finally, tell me about the Screaming Marine. What kind of ride are these guys on that shoots them up into the sky?
You know, this place in Orlando, it's a slingshot. I don't know if you've ever seen those at like amusement parks or like Magic Mountain where they just shoot you straight up. Well, this place is genius and put a camera on the people. So this Marine is about to get shot up.
And he's terrified.
Well, I'd rather be back in Afghanistan doing this.
No, you wouldn't.
Hey, can you give me like a countdown?
You guys want a countdown before you go?
That wasn't a countdown. He's screaming.
Oh, that's so
hilarious.
Funny.
You can see all these videos and so much more. Go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It is a brand new Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
I used to know somebody.
Gautier. Featuring Kimbra on the world-famous K-Rock, somebody that I used to know. It is 9:41. By the way, the Internet Roundup we did from a few minutes ago, the video that I was telling you about with the dog in the elevator, the guy gets into the elevator and has the dog on a leash, and then he takes off the elevator.
Is this a joke? Is this a Polish guy gets in the elevator?
No, this is real. Okay. Why he didn't wait till his dog got on the elevator with him, I don't know. But we had people immediately emailing us that they went to that video and it had been removed. But Dave did find another copy of it, so it is back up if you want to see what happened to this guy who got separated from his dog when he got into an elevator and the dog was on the other side of the elevator doors.
I heard he was a seeing eye dog.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
I'm kidding. See, guy was blind, couldn't see the dog in the elevator. That's why I did it.
That would have been at least a reasonable explanation. See? Because how else do you not let the dog on the elevator with you?
He doesn't like that dog.
Anyway, it's just a miracle that they both survived.
Remember how Lisa used to walk her dog into light posts? Remember that?
I sure do.
Oh,
yeah.
She'd go running out of here. Gong!
She went blind, and I really it took a little bit of time for me to learn
how to not run her into light posts.
And parked cars.
What did Lisa's dogs die of? Free will.
That's what they died of.
All right, time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat now on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What the heck is going on?
Before I get to the beat, I do want to mention that this Saturday I am doing an evening with Adam West up there at the Lovitz. There's only a couple tickets left, so if you want to go, you might want to buy now at thelovitz.com. It's me for 2 hours sitting down with Adam West, sort of inside the actor's studio style, looking back over his life and his 50-year showbiz career as we celebrate him getting his Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame, finally. So
I've got my picture.
That's right. That's what he's going to say. That's Saturday night. And Saturday day, if you're looking for something to do, how about Santa Anita Racetrack in Arcadia, California?
Is it that time again?
They are having the 10th annual Sunshine Millions Day Food Truck Festival. They have some food trucks there. Over 50 of them. Raging Cajun, White Rabbit, Nom Nom, Lobster Truck, Bratz Berlin, Boba Truck, Waffles Delige, and many more.
Why hasn't our friend Tom Beers, the TV producer, turned food trucks into a TV show yet?
Food Truck Wars.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
It'd be the best. I hope they have my favorite, the Star Wars themed food truck, Admiral Snack Bar. That comes from my buddy Mike Andrews. I stole that from him. It's also the Miss Sunshine Millions Bikini Contest. Oh. Need something else? Some other reason to be there? A DJ set featuring Jeremy Dawson and Cara Faye from Shiny Toy Guns. The Beer Garden will be serving over 20 different kinds of California microbrews. It's only $5 to get in. Plus, you get to play the ponies. Plus, and here's the reason you go. You get to hang out with the following K-Rock personalities. Dave, the I don't know anything about betting on the ponies king of Mexico. Uh-huh. He will be there. DJ Omar Khan.
Wow.
Psycho Mike.
No kidding.
Lightning. And our very own Beer Mug will be there.
That is fantastic.
It certainly is.
Except for Beer Mug, that's a great lineup.
Oh, come on. That is right here.
Saturday from noon to 5. Noon to 5, you can check that out. So a lot going on this Saturday if you want to hang out with some K-Rock type folks. Those are your options. While we're talking about DJ Omar Khan, brand new reality show in the works from the creative mind of Simon Cowell. He is going to be doing an American Idol type competition show featuring club DJs.
DJ Omar Khan.
Anyone interested?
It could be interesting.
I don't know.
Simon tweeted, DJs are the new rock stars. It feels like the right time to make this show. Stay tuned. Apparently, Hollywood Reporter says Simon has gotten in bed with Will Smith and his wife Jada Pinkett. And by get in bed with, I mean bone.
No, I think you mean talking business with.
Yeah. And they are going to be producing it together. So, a new Simon Cowell-based competition reality show, this time DJs.
There's certainly nothing more exciting than watching a guy scratch a record.
We've gone from people who sing karaoke to guys now who play other people's songs.
We just play records.
That's the level of talent we're starting to compete with. Eventually, it's going to be like humming, America's Best Hummer.
Well, Lisa would win that.
Hey, are you a Monty Python fan like I am?
Yes.
I'm very excited. It's just been announced that the remaining Python members, the living Python members, are reuniting for a feature film. Unfortunately, it isn't the five of them acting together. They will be lending their voices to a science fiction comedy called Absolutely Anything. It's being directed by Python member Terry Jones. And the premise is a man is bestowed with the power to do absolutely anything by a group of aliens who just want to watch and laugh.
That sounds funny.
It does sound funny. The Python boys are going to lend their voices to the aliens, which will all be CGI creations, but it'll be the five of them interacting as aliens in a spaceship, watching this live-action human being go through his paces. So it is Michael Palin, John Cleese, Terry Jones, Terry Gilliam, and Eric Idle will be back together again for the first time since they did a sit-down interview regarding the box release of their series. So, good times. Yeah. I like those guys. They're funny. I wish they were doing more together, but look, beggars can't be choosers. The last time they got together, I think they brought the ashes of Graham Chapman with them so they could all be together.
I think you're right, yeah.
Holding the urn with his ashes in it. I don't know how they'll work him into this movie, but looking forward to it. And Pat Sajak. apparently used to host Wheel of Fortune drunk.
Yes.
That explains so much to all of us. In the early days of the show, when you didn't win money, you used to win fake money, and then you could buy these cheesy prizes that they'd be offering. You'd win like $100 and say, okay, you can buy a lamp or you can buy that chess set.
Sounds good.
Well, they said there was so many prizes had to be on the set. There was a lot of time down in between shows while they set up for the next show. And Pat says they had endless time between shows. Our dinner breaks would be 2 hours long, so he and Vanna White would go across the street to a nearby restaurant that served great margaritas. Vanna and I would go across and have two or three or six, and then come back to do the last shows and have trouble recognizing the alphabet. So that explains so much.
Give him the breathalyzer!
Indeed. And it looks like Demi Moore, like sucking on a tank. Nitrous oxide.
That doesn't even sound sexy.
That apparently, I guess it depends on who's in the tank. That explains why paramedics were called to her home on Monday night. Result of nitrous oxide abuse. Radar in London is reporting that she collapsed after having a seizure. And at the hospital, she's being treated for substance abuse and anorexia. So, serious thing. We didn't realize how serious it was until we talked to Dr. Drew. I guess he sort of explained to us that it can be a very dangerous drug to abuse, so... I'm going to go to the dentist this week, see if I can score a big tank. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Bob Uecker. Remember Bob Uecker?
Sure.
He used to be an actor for a while. He was a famous baseball player and then became a sportscaster. And then he was on Mr. Belvedere. I guess he was the dad on Mr. Belvedere.
Right.
He was in Major League. I think he was the broadcaster in that, right? A bit outside. Remember that one?
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Funny guy. He is 77 years old today. I believe he's still doing play-by-play for one of the teams. Maybe the Brewers.
I think he's with the Brewers, yeah. And he became famous by being the most average baseball player of all time. Had a lifetime 200 batting average and just was right smack in the middle of every statistic. And he really turned that into his thing, didn't he?
Funny guy. Ellen DeGeneres is 54 years old today. Actor Paul Johansson from One Tree Hill's 48. Sarah Rue from Less Than Perfect turns 34 today. And guitarist Eddie Van Halen celebrates his 57th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And I hope you'll come on back for another all-new Kevin and Bean Show. I mean you, Ralph. Nope. I assume you will. I hope the listeners will also come back because we have a good show tomorrow. Jerry Hosky is going to be joining us. Famous, internationally renowned psychic. Oh, wait. Just some guy who's got a theory.
We could discover him. We could make him internationally renowned.
But he's not going to say, I see a weather event. He's going to give us some specifics because we really need something that we can track.
I've been listening to his predictions. He says there will be an important sporting event sometime in the next 2 weeks.
Really? Oh, wow. Yeah. He is good because we all know the Pro Bowl is this weekend. Also, Tito Ortiz will be joining us. He's got a personal appearance to tell you about. And we'll get his thoughts on the UFC on Fox this weekend. LaQuisha will be here reviewing the Jersey Shore episode for tonight. It is Friday. That means Ralph's got the movie beat for you. Also, tomorrow, and you're not going to believe this, but this was Lisa May's idea. Tomorrow we're going to talk about burping.
It's better than hearing people throw up.
Oh, just barely.
We were playing the clip the other day. Do I have time to get into this real quick? Yes. We were playing the clip the other day, the classic Will Ferrell clip. He starred in Elf when this happened.
Did you hear that?
And then we were debating, is it possible that that was real? I mean, I don't think that Will Ferrell could do
movie
that.
Movie magic.
Could somebody do that? And people were emailing going, yeah, I can do that. So tomorrow we're going to be looking for you if you're a world-class burper.
Hold on. Really? We're going to spend airtime letting people get on the air and burping.
That's exactly what we're going to do.
So we're out. We're out of ideas.
I think we have room for all kinds of talent.
Oh, good Lord.
And that's just one of those talents that, you know, maybe that's your thing. Maybe that's what you've got.
Don't start a riot.
Plus, we're going to introduce you to a new internet sensation, a guy. Now, this is when I really knew we were out. A guy who picks up the newspaper while he's drunk and reads stories from it.
Yes, I love News of the Globe.
Apparently, he's just the best.
He is the
right?
best. Yes, I love
all of that tomorrow, plus more chances to get you qualified to Australia to see Incubus in concert tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.